Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Listen to the Don and Mike Show for your chance to win a trip for two to Super Bowl XXXVIII, courtesy of AOL for broadband. With AOL top speed, making your web pages load up to 2 times faster. And it's only on the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Bacardi Limon.
Here they are. They're drinking it. They're not saying that. They're saying Bacardi Limon.
Bacardi Limon.
Right.
It's a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of faith. And his soul torn apart. You expression advised.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Charlie.
I'm sorry.
Why?
I don't know.
Good to see you.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Mayhew and all the ships at sea.
Hey, hi, Bill.
Excellent compliment for your glass of Bacardi Limon, Don Geronimo and Charlie Drake.
Bacardi Limon.
Bacardi Limon.
All right. Hey, everybody, and thank you for listening. Don and Mike Show. This is a new episode on this Thursday, 1:15:04.
Hi, Don. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz. You just break your voice. Are you okay?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Here's the number from anywhere in America you can call. You can call us anytime at 877-365-3636. From Canada, call 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. Keep in mind what, Charlie? That the calls we're looking for are...
Serious-minded only.
Exotic. Exotic. Uh-huh. Entertaining.
Let me entertain you.
Offbeat.
Right.
You know, as opposed to, the, if you flip those words around, offbeat.
Yeah. Bacardi Limon.
That's what we usually get.
Right. Bacardi Limon.
You can call anytime.
Okay.
But unless you've got something great, you're not going to jump in.
Right.
But however, the phone scan time during every show, that is where you're spotlighted.
Yes.
And let's make it more of a challenge for the idiots to get through.
Absolutely, and I wish everybody the very best of luck.
So good luck. Listen, let's start the show first here. We do the show from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital,
right.
The most powerful city in the world. Many people, myself, sometimes say it's the greatest city in the world, but it does have one gigantic drawback, which is the over panic of any impending weather.
Yes, incredible and, overreactions to winter weather forecast.
And I'm going to come at it from a different angle today, and I'm going to try to be a little more concise. That I understand what the TV stations are doing. I'm going to give them just a tip now from a guy who I like swimming in the deep end. I like myself. I like doing a show. It might suck. It might be great, but at least we're doing something.
Taking chances. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what they're doing, they're believing the dumb weather guys, saying we're going to get 1 to 3 inches of snow, which incidentally
is nothing.
In any other city in America, you tell me a city in America where there's a weather forecast for 1 to 3 inches of snow, and it is the lead story.
Yeah.
It's the lead. Okay, Rob, acceptable.
Miami.
Acceptable. I would even go as far south as Jacksonville.
Sure. Wow.
Then that, it's the lead story.
Right.
But here in Washington, you know, your nation's capital,
right.
the most powerful city in the world, every station last night, well, old man Winter's looking at us with a nor'easter clipper that could bring us 1 to 3. Now,
and it's total crap.
Now,
not a flake.
Here's where I'm coming from on this. I understand the TV stations, what they're doing is they're banking on this. It's 4th and 1.
Yeah.
They don't know if they're going to make it. But, man, they pile on last night. They got the guy in top of the big pile of soft
I love that.
Stuff that they've got.
Yeah, the salt and the sand. They go out to where the big trucks are.
Treat the roads, and the guy's outside, and he's saying, look, it is snowing.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're
promoting the fact that tomorrow morning, because we're going to get this dangerous
1 to 3 inches of snow instead of starting our morning show at 6 o'clock.
Well, you know what they did? I'll tell you why they did. One of the reasons they did that is because the last time we had a dusting, the combination of circumstances resulted
right now,
in people sliding all over the road. Yeah. So they're covering their ass time around.
I'm getting to a point here, a very important point. You're right, Mike, because of what happened, they overreacted.
That's why they still build it up anyway.
But here's where they blow it, and this is why I'm so pissed today.
Okay.
Obviously, we got nothing. We got maybe a dusting. There was nothing. There were no problems.
Right.
Now, if you go for it on 4th and 1 and you don't make it, what you have to do is turn around and play strong defense.
Yes.
You don't get the ball right back. You don't go back to offense. So, for instance, I'm going to spotlight right now Channel 5, Fox 5.
All right. Team 5.
Here's the deal. They start the panic last night. They say our morning show normally goes on at 6 a.m., but tomorrow a.m., we're going to be on the air at 5.
Yeah, because we're going to get ready for the big disaster.
Now, you got to know at 5 o'clock, they wake up this morning, and they're on the air, and there's no freaking snow.
Right.
So they got to cover their ass. I understand that.
Right.
And I even understand the fact that they want to say, well, we dodged a bullet by not getting any snow, but whew, man, is it cold out there, and the winds are going to be, okay, I got it. Here's where you lose me, Channel 5. This is why I say crap on you. Just, you can't go for it. You're not allowed to go for it anymore. Because if you do all of that, if you promote it, and then you say you're going to start your news the next day, when it's not snowed, and when there are no school cancellations, and it is perfectly clear and 30 degrees, at 8:30 in the morning, you don't have the guy standing in front of the TV station with the lady from Home Depot doing a feature on shovels. And what shovel?
F them.
And what type of shovel you need this winter? Now, obviously, they had this feature planned.
Yes, lazy.
Yeah. Because they thought we were going to get some snow.
Right.
Well, now here's the thing. So we didn't get the snow. Okay, so you went for it last night on 4th and 1. I understand that.
But now go into your defensive crouch and bring in the reporter who wants to do the feature story on a nice vacation destination.
Yeah, but no. What you do is you got the guy who's standing in front of the station and goes, well, as you just heard Tom say, we avoided Mother Nature's winter blast, but you know at some time we will get measurable snow this year.
They don't know that.
And joining me now from whatever it is, Lowe's or Home Depot, whatever.
A fine sponsor.
We find people buying lots of shovels.
Let's see. Let's see what we've got. And the new panic now is the temperature and the wind chill.
Right.
And the fact that people are making a rush to the stores to buy, you know, whatever it is that you buy. Meanwhile, now this is a good thing about having a national kind of coast-to-coast regional syndicated show.
Right.
We go all the way up to Maine and Vermont and New Hampshire, where yesterday the temperature, at some point during the evening hours, the temperature in New Hampshire was 45 below.
Yep.
And the wind chill.
My mom in Hartford, Connecticut, the temperature was 7 degrees below zero in Hartford, Connecticut.
And the wind chill was over 100 below zero.
Yes. I mean, the kind of weather that can kill you.
Now, That is deserving of being the lead story.
That's cold.
Here in D.C., because they screwed up on the weather, they went for it on 4th and 1. They didn't make it. Rather than just say, oh, well, let's kick back, let's all...
Bacardi Limon.
Let's have a drink, let's chill. It didn't snow. No, they got to start the panic about this, not understanding the fact that what we're going through here, what is the current temperature, Buzz?
I was just checking on that now, but my computer's been reconfigured.
What, 36, 37?
I don't have that information.
Something like
probably
that.
36, 37.
You know, and like the overnight low is going to be something like 10 or 11 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, if you're a homeless person, well, first off, if you're a homeless person, what are you doing listening to the radio?
Yeah, because you might have a transistor radio.
Well.
Or if you're in your car, this is probably your TV. There you go.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just homeless people, though.
Homeless people live out of their cars?
Yeah, but the homeless people that live out of their cars, yeah, I guess so. Well,
I know you hate it when I do that.
I was getting to a point with that, you know, that you can be concerned about the weather if you're a homeless person.
Right.
You know, if it's going to be 10 degrees,
right.
Well, then turn on the all homeless network and let them tell you that it's very dangerous for you.
It's right next to PAX.
The homeless channel. You're watching the homeless channel.
Yeah, and what's funny is, just like Mike said with the car, there's tons of homeless people that have TVs. And even have... Well, I guess it would be hard to have people...
No, you don't have TVs if you're homeless.
Sure you do. Rob Grippy was homeless, lived in his car.
Had a TV in his car.
Got a little battery operated. The same people that you're talking about that live in cars could have TVs that run off the battery.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I love the Fix-It show on the homeless channel, Best Old Car.
Anyway, for those people...
34 is the current temperature.
Thank you, Robbie. For those people, that's news. But they're probably not listening to the show right now, and I guarantee that they're not watching the TV station.
So what you're saying is they're instead of just admitting they were wrong or providing us with some real news,
just move by it.
They go into this cold thing,
Move past it. And just for next time, Channel 5, the next time you predict a massive snow.
Well, they predicted an Alberta clipper, and we didn't get clipped.
The next time you predict.
We did by the weatherman.
The next time you predict that we're going to get a lot of snow and it doesn't, at least save yourselves the shame of having a guy on a bone dry day standing in front of the radio station with a selection of snow shovels.
Or TV, you remember the forecast?
TV station, not radio station.
I went to the movies last night, and the forecast indicated to me that when I came out of the movie, I'd have some snow on the ground, and it'd be kind of treacherous, and you have to be careful. Nothing.
Right.
And then, went to bed last night thinking, well, I wake up this morning, it'll be a little something, a little dusting on the ground, a little 2 inches. No, I mean, zero, nothing.
3 inches by dawn.
About mid-morning, seriously, about 10 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. I got a flurry.
Now, this is one thing about doing a national show. Mm-hmm. We're talking about something now that only people in
here.
Washington can relate to, because only the people that live here, ourselves included, get stirred up into this sense of insane
panic.
Like the movie Independence Day is happening, when the worst-case scenario was that we would get 3 inches of snow.
I had only one pleasure out of this, this was my one joy. We have I live on kind of a back street, kind of a gravel road that leads up to a gravel driveway. It's kind of rural out where I am. And there's some people that live on top of the mountain where I live, and they come down the little mountain, and they drive down.
The people from the mountain.
The mountain people. And there's this one guy who brings his car down and parks it like almost in the middle of the road so that when it's time to plow, it screws up the plow when they come in. And he parks, anytime there's any weather, he parks down there. And I went by and go, there he is again.
I got
Mr. Others, Mr. Selfish. Even though he's going downhill,
right.
You know, he'd be fine without any problem. And I had the just distinct pleasure of sipping on my little iced tea today. What am I saying? My Bacardi Limon. That I was
Bacardi Limon.
First thing at about 8 o'clock this morning. And watching him
Bacardi Limon.
In the bitter cold trudge down the hill through his car. And I'm talking to him the whole time. I'm like, oh, there you go. I guess your little plan to forsake others in the neighborhood and park on the side of the road and block everybody else. Mm-hmm. I guess that kind of went by the wayside, huh? You're feeling kind of cold there. And I'm talking out loud, which is more evidence that I'm insane.
We don't have it that bad in our neighborhood. A lot of people have long driveways. So last night, when I was coming home from work, I noticed a lot of people just park their car at the very end of their driveway, imagining. And again, this is because of the society that this area has become. That people are now so panicked at the thought of 3 inches of snow that my neighbors, and that's my only perspective where I live, but I know people are nutty about it everywhere. Last night, they're all parking their cars at the end of the driveway to save themselves.
And most of your driveways in your neighborhood go downhill. And really, I'm sorry, my experience being a New Englander, downhill, not a problem. Going uphill, that's anyway, your problem, moron.
Anyway, we have no one to blame but ourselves because we listened to them. But thank
we
God.
Believed it.
But thank God that the conscience of the world is here speaking now.
Yes.
On the Don and Mike show, meaning both him, Mike, and me, Don. We're here to set you straight.
Now, I wish this time of year we could talk about 80 degrees, though. You know, and you know why? Once again, and I submitted the request earlier today. It's you'll get it in your mailboxes. The request to relocate the program.
I know you keep saying
South Florida,
yes, right?
Preferably Gulf Coast side.
One thing that hold on, we do have a plow driver on the line.
Okay.
Rick?
Yeah, how you doing?
I feel sorry for you guys because you guys got to go where they tell you, and they had you on the side of the road.
How long did they jerk you around for?
17 hours last night.
Oh, my God.
And that's your tax dollar at work.
The pay is good, though, right?
Yeah, it cost him about $1,000 per truck just to have him sit there.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And I driving home last night after I went to the movies, it was there were three, it seemed like every exit I went by, there were three of these the big salt trucks.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, my friend. I know you got to go out there when they call for it.
Yep. I drove by about $10,000.
I wanted to explain why week before last, because, see, they were allocated $50 million a year, and because of the past years, they didn't have that much snow.
My friend?
Last year,
my friend?
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's just get a plug in here. Mr. Right. Plow, that's your name. Mr. Plow, that's your name. Call Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow, that's the name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
What's that from?
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. Homer. Homer's right. Business.
Mike, here's where I stand.
Yes, Don.
Here's where I stand on Steve Martin versus Robin Williams, the argument.
Mm.
I'm willing to have it right now, and I'm ready to, and I think we should, but... I really don't know. I don't know if I care.
Bring it.
I don't know if I care enough.
You've lost the passion, the fire.
It's the first sign of total victory for me. Yeah, I knew yesterday. You delayed it yesterday. I knew that I was victorious.
Okay.
I knew that I had won.
All right, I wasn't delaying anything.
I had won.
Here we go.
I had completely won.
I just don't care. I'll
victory
tell you
is at hand for the Robin Williams faithful.
Here's the way that I think of things. Which is obviously not the way you think of things.
Yes, here we go. Now we're going to get the lecture. This is the dad-to-son lecture here. I've gotten it over 18 years. I'm ready for it again. Here we go. Yes, right. Someone's got to think about this.
Yeah, well, I know that.
No, I'm not giving you that. I'm not giving you that.
All right.
Not that one. It's a different
You don't
lecture.
Think it's going to be entertaining? What is
no,
the point?
No, no, no.
Come on. I'm waiting for any of them.
No.
What?
Wild card.
Wild card.
The wild card is that I guess if it means that I have to say Steve Martin sucks... I'll say Steve Martin sucks. I think Robin Williams sucks, too. I think Steve Martin was funny when he was a stand-up comedian, which is
well,
why...
Well, perhaps we could frame the discussion.
Why I think you originally liked Robin Williams.
I think we could frame the discussion as to who sucks more.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. I'll take you on. And now we're talking...
See, most recently...
Just movie-wise.
In yes. one-hour photo, I thought Robin Williams gave me a lot of pleasure.
And I thought...
Because he's a good actor.
And I thought Steve Martin was very good in the movie Novocaine, which I think you would like as well. That's not as good as one-hour photo.
Okay.
But it's you know... It's
good. It's decent.
Creepy.
But, you know, our original argument, if we can...
Who's funnier?
Yeah, and it's tremendously subjective. And that was the original. Who is funnier?
And I think if you go, you'd have this was what I was trying.
I was
to
at a party, and you know, I had a chance to hang out for an hour with Steve Martin or Robin Williams. I'd take Robin Williams.
And I would. This is just movies.
And,
though, right?
And I would take
no.
I would take
just overall.
I would take Steve Martin, but it would have to be the Steve Martin that used to slay when he would go on Johnny Carson.
See, but here's the thing. You got to take them as they are, otherwise the argument
still as they are today.
Of course,
then I would still take if you're saying you could spend time with one or the other. Congratulations! See, you're over there painting yourself as the victim. Well, actually, you're
painting myself as the victim.
You're the manipulator.
No, I'm not manipulating.
See, you're mocking me.
I feel tremendous confidence in this argument.
You're mocking.
I really think that
my life enhancing messages that I'm giving you
I
here.
I think really much like the presidential candidates. We have to frame the debate. We really have to. How? Now wait a minute. Before we start
movie by movie.
We're going to go movie by movie.
I just got a list of movies that each of them has done, and we'll just decide good, bad, indifferent. Here we go. Just the filmographies.
Okay, very good.
Robin Williams.
Now wait, how are we keeping a tally of this?
Buzz, keep track, and we'll both just say if the movie is good or sucked.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now
there's no cheating here, so we have to give you our opinion.
And I have,
but I'm not going to be objective.
Just try.
Okay.
For instance, let's start with... All right, we'll start with Steve Martin. He had a movie before your guy did.
Okay.
The Jerk. That is a funny movie.
Funny movie.
Then we go to Robin Williams. His first feature film, 1980. The Jerk was in 1979. Robin Williams, Popeye. Sucks.
Sucks.
Then let's move to... Robin Williams' next big movie was The World According to Garp.
Excellent.
I agree.
Good movie.
I agree. Steve Martin's next big movie was Pennies from Heaven.
Suckfest.
I liked it. Robin Williams, Moscow on the Hudson.
Good movie.
Sucks ass.
No, great movie.
Seriously. Remember when I saw it?
I've seen it a bunch of times. I liked it.
Steve Martin, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Nope, that sucks.
Sucks.
Robin Williams, The Best of Times. Is that the one with Kurt Russell?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one. I like.
I'll say it's a good one. I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, well, now that's... You can't.
Of course I can.
No, you can't.
Oh, you know what? Let me check that. I did see it. It's great.
What's the plot?
I have no idea.
See, Buzz, don't count that one.
Okay. That's not going to be fair.
Because I counted Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid as sucking.
Right. Okay.
So don't count Best of Times.
Either negative or positive.
Correct. It's out of the equation.
All right.
If that's the way you're gonna sculpt this, the way you're gonna sculpt it.
We're manipulating the numbers already.
Robin Williams, Club Paradise. That movie sucks.
Sucked.
Steve Martin, Man with Two Brains. Funny.
Sucked.
Robin Williams, Good Morning Vietnam. Good.
Good movie.
Yesterday you said it was no good.
No, I didn't.
Steve Martin, The Lonely Guy. Hilarious.
Sucked.
You know, we should,
I saw it with the spotlight on him. Ha, ha, ha.
We should just stop this.
Because why? You're probably ahead right now because because early comments that I made.
what early comments?
I don't know.
Steve Martin, Three Amigos. Funny.
One of the worst movies ever made.
Wow.
And I mean that.
Robin Williams.
Ridiculously on cable, too. Too much.
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Great movie. Monty, directed by Terry Gilliam.
Sucks. Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams.
Academy Award nomination. Academy Award nomination. Now,
like that means anything.
It was great. Like that great movie. Like very good movie.
That movie sucks.
It's a great movie.
That movie sucks. How about this one? Here you go. Play a doctor to a retard. Awakenings. He was no good in that. He was no good in that movie.
Phenomenal movie.
Movie sucked.
One of his really, as far as I'm concerned, one of my favorite movies of all time.
You're such a liar.
No, really.
I hate that movie.
I could pull out something right now that I won't do it. Well, I will not do
it. I don't want to see that again.
I will not.
I don't want to see your thing.
No. I mean, that movie was very, very, it moved me greatly.
I don't think you're playing this game.
You don't think I'm being honest?
No.
I used a line from the movie. Here we go. Excuse me. I have to. I used a line from the movie Awakenings at my father's eulogy. Does that tell you anything about how strongly influenced I was by the movie? Look at the mind working now on how to counter that. It's the truth.
Feel bad for your dad. As I always do. No, I will even more. You know. Okay, Little Shop of Horrors. That is a funny movie. That's Steve Martin. Tell me that you don't like that one.
He was great in that movie.
Okay. Again, being honest, Roxanne, where he's got the big nose. Steve Martin stinks.
Sucked.
How about your man Robin Williams? Talk about the worst movie ever made. Let's bring on Hook, where he was Peter Pan.
Bad movie.
Oh, no, this sucks.
Excuse me, I'm not going to put... You say what you want. Bad movie.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Fantastic. Funny, always.
One of my favorite Steve Martin movies.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Steve Martin. Also funny.
Are you giving all the movies? Are you... Are
yes,
you...
I am. I'm going okay. Year by year.
All right. Good movie.
Keep in mind, my guy's got a good streak. I'll tell you, my guy kind of loses it towards the end there.
Okay. All right.
Parenthood. Funny movie.
Funny movie. Great streak.
Your guy, Shakes the Clown.
Never saw it, so we got to take it out of the running.
All right, I would give that one a funny one. My Blue Heaven, Steve Martin. Plays the mobster. Not funny.
Horrible.
Steve Martin, L.A. Story. Not funny.
Not funny.
Robin Williams. And I'm not counting like cartoons, because he was in Aladdin, okay?
Right. And he's great in Aladdin. He is great in Aladdin, because my kids watch that.
Shut up. You're so... This is
fantastic.
This is so not fair. Robin Williams Toys. I mentioned this with LL Cool J. Sucks.
Movie I never
sucks.
Saw it.
Too bad. It's got to go...
Hey! Now, wait a minute. You can't change your rules.
Okay. How about Mrs. Doubtfire?
Funny.
I quit. That's all.
Oh, you're going to... Quit her.
That's right, because...
Quit her.
I'll end this discussion right there.
What?
That I will admit to you that Steve Martin is not as funny as Robin Williams... Because Robin Williams is good in Mrs. Doubtfire.
All right, let me
that's
explain.
A funny movie.
May I explain?
No.
No, now wait a minute. Stop it.
No,
let me explain to you.
You win, I quit.
I did not like Mrs. Doubtfire at the beginning. But I've watched it on cable.
But she's like Hitler, she built good roads in the beginning.
It grew on me. The scenes with Pierce Brosnan. All right,
this is where I just don't.
No, I want. You know what? No, you know you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing.
No, I'm not going to allow it.
I'm not. I retract it.
We're going to break.
You're cheating.
Break. I'm not
you're cheating because the Steve.
I'm not you, cheating. You're not being honest.
You end with Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Parenthood.
I know. I gave you a million of bad ones that you.
But you said towards the end he falls off. I want to hear the comparisons towards the end.
Okay, let's just go on the record as you like saying on the record for the record. You think Mrs. Doubtfire is a good, funny movie.
I will retract that so we can continue the debate.
No, there's no need. I'll give you. My guy's got like a million awful movies here. I said I don't feel passionate.
Like, can we mention some of them?
Sure, Bringing Down the House. Cheaper by the dozen.
Father of the Bride.
Father of the Bride,
one and two.
Sure, Sergeant Bilko. But let's not forget your guy. Let's not forget Father's Day. Oh, I bet you don't remember that one. Oh, what, you didn't see that one?
Father's Day?
The one where he and Billy Crystal are the crazy, kooky, divorced dads?
I thought it would be so bad I didn't go see it.
Uh-huh. Patch Adams?
Liked Patch Adams.
I did! Flubber.
Bad.
Jacob the Liar.
Bad. Very bad.
Bicentennial Man.
Did not see it.
Sucked. He played the robot. He played a robot.
Oh, you know, I've seen bits of it, and it did suck.
See? Never mind. I'll give it to you. We'll just give it up. We'll just stop it right there. But all I want on the record...
How about the last part of this equation?
I'm willing to
When's the last time Steve Martin did any stand-up?
I have absolutely no freaking idea.
And the last special, I think you might have even said this, that the last special that Robin Williams did, the one in New York, was funny. When we had all the bottles of water in back of him?
Not as funny as Mrs. Doubtfire, though.
I think if you can count it, Steve Martin did something like stand-up in 92 for Carson's last...
Whatever, Rob. So. Whatever.
Didn't Steve Martin also host the Academy Awards?
Many times.
Didn't he recently, last year?
Yes, sometimes. Yeah.
Many times. Mrs. Doubtfire. Now I don't know. I'm gonna.
So now
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday, even though it's months away.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to get you the DVD set of Mrs. Doubtfire.
I told you I retract that one.
Well, they're too late.
Robin Williams box.
Well, what's your point? What's your point here?
My point is, I told
you that we weren't playing fair.
No, this was like any fight we have. This was all of our fight.
I win.
This is all right, Mrs. Doubtfire. You win.
I stand by the box office success of Mrs. Doubtfire. Overwhelming blockbuster,
which it was.
Who gets more for a movie?
I don't know.
We have to find that out.
I don't know.
We have to get that. God, we have to find
you're
that
as pathetic
out.
As he is. You really are.
As pathetic as Robin Williams?
Yes.
I accept that as a compliment. I wear your scorn as a badge of honor.
As would I. And I'm not even mentioning the fact that my guy's never been nominated for a Razzie.
Mm-hmm.
And your guy has not only been nominated for Razzies, but has won Razzies.
Well, you know what? He accepts the Razzie like he would accept the Academy Award nominations.
Again, which mean dick.
Well,
and if you want to talk box office,
if you're the one that brought up awards.
If you want to talk box office, I'm afraid I'd have to go back to that incredible winning streak that my guy had. I'd put that up against Mrs. What?
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say, I know you guys didn't finish the list, but of the ones that you both voted on, Steve Martin got 15 favorable votes between the two of you, and Robin Williams got 9 favorable votes between the two of you.
Ah.
15 to 9, just on the partial list.
But it doesn't count, Buzz.
Yeah, I guess
it doesn't count because I've given up.
I'll accept that total.
I've given up because...
of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Because Mike thinks Mrs. Doubtfire is a funny movie, which is what you originally said before you started this backpedaling with, oh, it was box office good and...
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Then I'm...
I like the scenes with Robin Williams and Pierce Brosnan.
Then I'm cool. I'm cool laying down right there. I'll step off right there. Congratulations.
Now you're manipulating.
Enjoy your moment. I'm not in the least.
You're manipulating me.
Not in the least.
You're manipulating me like someone would manipulate a prostate.
I am not. Wow. And must you bring up my potassium again? Must you? Oh, you said prostate.
You know, I really
sure somehow is linked to my potassium.
I'm not sure whether your heart's in this one. I just don't think it is.
What did I tell you 15 minutes ago?
And you know what? Quite honestly, maybe my heart's not in this. Maybe
hold on. What's
15 years ago? My heart was more into it.
What's the first thing I said to you? I said, really? I never wrote this down. I may really not care about this topic.
But also, I would also say this: movies. That's not the barometer. Movies are...
No, it is. Mrs. Doubtfire. Mrs. Doubtfire is a funny movie.
Mm.
Mike O'Mara.
You know what? I know what you're doing. You're real successful. You found that angle.
No.
You boxed me into a corner.
No,
and then, you know what?
You boxed me in this corner.
I think I boxed myself into this corner. And there's no getting out of it. Because
no.
You know what? You know, that one's like lingering on me right now. As I'm just going back, I'm like looking at the scenes and stuff with the fake makeup. And, you know, you could go back in the archives and hear my commentary about Mrs. Doubtfire. Mm-hmm.
All I care is what you said today. I'll play fair with you, Mike, because you're a worthy opponent. I'll say, you know, for the sake of this argument,
yes.
We can close it down once and for all. Yes, I agree. Robin Williams, funnier than Steve Martin. And the point that won me over, was the fact that you think Mrs. Doubtfire is such a funny movie.
Fine. True.
Fine, you win.
No,
you happy?
No, it's
true. Are
no,
you happy?
The truth.
All right.
You won.
All right, here's the deal.
You won. You got me to
just
think.
Shut up for a second. Mrs. Doubtfire sucks. I admit it.
Somebody call CNN.
I admit it.
This bulletin.
You wouldn't let me live. I'd be hearing that for the next week.
This just is.
And I mean next week. It's the end of this week. It'll
That's
be next
right.
week.
We got a
Mrs.
break.
Doubtfire sucks.
Thank you. Thank you.
It totally sucks.
And really, about both of them, I just, I don't,
we don't care.
Don't care.
Chris Rock is funnier than both of them.
That we agree.
And he makes crappy movies, too.
Yeah, he's kind of making it a specialty.
Absolutely. I mean, there, I don't know what that does, but, you know.
Well, it gets us back united, hating again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we're not fighting each other, we're fighting everybody else, which is the way that you and I always work best.
Actually, the debate, now that I think about it, the Steve Martin, Robin Williams, we should put it to rest because it really is getting sad.
Yeah.
I think it makes it sad for both of us.
Yes, it is.
It makes us both look a little bad.
Yeah, I agree. We should move on.
And that one guy who said that to me the other night, you know.
Yeah.
They both suck.
We should move. Yeah, and I agree. I agree now. I agreed then. I agreed 10 minutes.
And they're both better than Chevy Chase.
Yeah, right.
Even though Charlie Broyhill is going to make that Fletch argument.
He loves Fletch. Well, again, like, you know, and it's a good thing you backed out of that Miss Doubtfire thing. Because really, when you think about Broyhill, our producer, super producer Charlie Broyhill, many times when asked to describe him, all you can say is, well, his favorite movie is Fletch.
Fletch.
And I think at number two is Fletch Lives.
Yeah.
He likes them both.
Right. So you know how retarded he is. We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's it.
Well, NFU.
For all of that talking, that's all we have.
Is that all we have?
That's all. No, hold on.
We used to have other Mrs. Doubtfire drops.
Mr. Sprinkles, boys and girls. Hello, Mr. Sprinkles. Hello!
National Treasures, Don and Mike.
Oh, funny. Know, funny. Baby.
Okay, let me explain to you how this show works every day.
Right.
We get bombed, and then
Bacardi Limon.
We come in and we do the show, and it's right. In a lot of ways it's a race that everybody's looking for good stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And Buzz does his news show,
right?
And I try to have some things that have caught my eye every day that we talk about,
right?
And then Rob has stuff, and sometimes Rob has a story that he's not passed along, and he was just telling us during the break.
I forget how it even came up.
I don't I don't know. Anyway, my lead story is that Rip Torn got a DWI.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I'm backing that up with Jeff Garcia.
The one I heard about was Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia yesterday. But Rob has a story about a high school hazing.
It was at a football camp, and I wish I had printed it out.
Recent, Rob? Was this recent?
The people were just sentenced, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. It's probably last summer, then.
Yeah, they brought in an underclassman, and as some sort of initiation ritual, they sodomized him with golf balls and pine cones.
Jesus!
Ouch.
Not funny.
Not funny.
No. That's not
that's
funny.
That's really not funny.
That's not.
I don't like it if it happened to you.
That's not funny. Well,
hate it.
You know, you say...
Hello!
Yes. somebody comes at you with a pine cone.
Right.
Golf balls wants to sodomize you with
hello!
A...
Hello!
You playing a titleist for?
Hello!
Bacardi Limon.
Have to figure out which one would hurt more.
Just know that that's gold. Anytime you stumble upon a story like that,
right.
That's gold.
Brown gold.
That's a trip to the ball washer.
There you go.
Those darn kids.
So anyway, Rip Torn.
Yes.
He's a DUI.
Party.
Right, Larry Sanders.
Hello, children.
Men in Black.
I'm Bob. This is true.
Do you know his real name, his real first name?
Reginald?
Nope.
Robbie Van Winkle.
Elmore.
Elmore Torn?
Elmore Torn.
Was his last name really Torn?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Hmm.
It is.
Wow.
Hello!
Stop it with that. You're kidding me with that. So anyway, he got the DWI.
Wow.
And also... The guy, Jeff Garcia from the 49ers, that happened yesterday.
Now, he was booked on suspicion of DUI, right?
Well, no, his blood level was over the legal limit. It'll take a couple of weeks for the blood work to come back. There's his exciting mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just bring this up, and it's not anything you know, out of the ordinary these days for anybody.
I guess.
The actors or athletes to get busted for a driving while drunk.
Everybody gets popped.
But Jeff Garcia, the thing about this guy is, and I believe that this, I really was the first to notice this when he signed with the 49ers many years. How long is he playing now? 5 years with the 49ers?
At least, I think.
The guy has just got, I'm not kidding, the queerest voice in the freaking world.
He is probably the most effeminate sounding star in the NFL.
When you listen to, boy, and I can think of a website he could go to.
You're dying, aren't you?
I am. You know, I do have some control.
You do.
Give me that. I got some control.
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very proud of you. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I got, someday, my God, if we could ever live in a world where there would be no consequences at all for what I said and what I know, oh, my God, what a show that would be. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this. Jeff Garcia, and those of you listening to us in the Bay Area know that it's funny to hear him after the 49ers win or lose. If you're lucky enough to get him in a post-game chat.
Super.
Yeah, that's what he says. Well, we had a real hard time marching and getting down inside the red zone.
I'm just really excited about the way the team's playing right now.
We didn't really get a lot of, and it's funny.
Savage face.
And it's funny when he says, like, well, they were getting real good penetration. and that's Jeff Garcia, and that's him. Sean Combs has issued a statement, Mike, to Ben Affleck.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm not with her. That's his statement. About J-Lo. Uh-huh.
What, that was specifically sent to Ben?
Yes. He wants Ben Affleck to know. The quote is, Ben, I'm not with her. So that's what he's...
Now, what is that? I'm trying to put that in perspective.
They're at a party together.
Uh-huh. If you're Ben Affleck, how you take that?
Yeah.
Well, first off, if you're Ben Affleck, I imagine everything kind of sounds... Hey, Rob, turn on the 45 RPM, you know, that thing that... How long will it take? Never mind.
No, it won't take but a second.
Tell you just how everything sounds to Ben Affleck.
Right.
Because you asked Mike what it sounds like.
But Diddy also says it was a coincidence that he ran into J-Lo at that club in Miami. But the guy who worked at the club, if you remember the story from yesterday,
said he called in advance.
He called and said we were both showing up.
So anyway, Puff Daddy. You got it, Robbie?
Yeah.
Here's what it sounds like inside Ben Affleck's head. I'll be the voice in his head. Hi, this is Ben Affleck. I've got a new movie coming out called Paycheck, and I can't figure out why I'm a movie star, because I'm just really a slob friend of Matt Damon. Hi, J-Lo, how are you? I'm Ben Affleck, Say, there's Sean Puffy, because you're with my girlfriend. Stop that. Hi, Matt Damon. I'm Daredevil. Daredevil! Adrian Silent Bob. I'm Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck!
Duh.
And that's what he hears in his head.
Duh. Yeah. Clooney! I like George Clooney.
I know. Well, everybody knows that.
Well, yeah. And
have you been to his website?
Constantly. It's wallpaper.
Just checking.
No, George Clooney, as much as I like him, he's a prick like everybody is.
Well, he likes his privacy. I know that. What has he done now?
Well, it's there's all these. He doesn't want it getting out that he's seeing a girl or that he's got a girlfriend. And then there was a story.
Doesn't he have a place over Lake Como or something like Perry?
In Italy. Yeah.
He goes to Italy because he hates it here so much.
And he, I guess, has knocked a girl up, or there were reports that he had knocked a girl up, and he called Us Magazine and said, I don't know what the story is that you're running that says that I got this girl pregnant, but I'm telling you, Jack, you know, I didn't get her pregnant. And the people at Us Magazine, the way the story was interpreted to me, said, we never had any intention of printing a story saying that you had gotten a girl pregnant, but thanks very much for giving us this exclusive.
So, and then they went with it.
Yeah. How great is that? That they're just sitting around one day and the phone rings.
He don't protest too much.
Because, you know, who's on the... Oh, my God, it's George Clooney. Hey, listen, this is George Clooney. What are you doing saying this?
I didn't bring that lady. What are you doing? I don't want you to print it. We're not planning on printing. What?
Mike... This one is sick. This is really sick.
Does it involve, I was going to say the same thing, Rob.
Thanks. What? Does it involve what?
The pine cones.
No. No, but it's, no, it's, and it's not as, let me just say, although it's sick, it's not as bad as being sodomized.
By a pine cone or golf ball.
But then what is?
Right.
Okay. These four guys in Australia are opening a restaurant called Lewinsky's.
Oh, no.
And it is a restaurant inspired by Monica Lewinsky.
That's a tough job. You can
they're,
eat.
They're going to be very funky.
Hey, good, Buzz.
What'd you say, Buzz?
All you can eat.
That's right.
Touché.
They'll have cigars, and they're going to carry the purses that Monica Lewinsky has designed. And there are, surprise, surprise, there are no other bars or restaurants registered in her name throughout the entire world.
Now, are they able to use her? I mean, has she given permission?
Well, no. They say, we hope she'll be flattered. She said, talk to my lawyers.
Yeah.
And her lawyers...
she got a right to, legal right.
I negotiate all her deals.
But the thing is...
the first I've heard of it.
In the event that they use the name Lewinsky's, they, of course, will have to pay a small fee.
I'm not sure if they have the legality to do that.
I don't think they do, because the fact... if it was simply a name that belonged to someone else, you could open a restaurant as Lewinsky's. But if you are specifically marketing the restaurant... based on the intern of the former president, you'll find yourself in a bit of a sticky wicket.
Now, before we get to the other pressing matters at hand,
yes.
Could I have a Bacardi Limon, please? That is the drink that we would all like to have.
Bacardi Limon.
Thank you.
They should call it Brady's.
You thank you, Rob. That was from your voice.
You're going
to
get plugs.
No, hey, yeah. I just read what he put in front of me. Gratefully.
Now, you know, this is just the real inside me talking now. We are here every day doing this four-hour thing.
Yes.
And, you know, God knows we're doing the best we can. But why are people getting TV talk shows instead of us? And I'm not talking about DJs. John McEnroe, and I'm a John McEnroe fan,
yeah.
But I don't want to see John McEnroe have a talk show.
No.
But apparently...
wasn't he one of the ones that subbed for Letterman?
Yep.
Yep, he's awful. CNBC, which is the... it's less than MSNBC and not as good as something else. It's Asian NBC or...
Well, CNBC is actually the division of the National Broadcasting Corporation that is targeted at women. Thank you. I'm here all week.
And the one that I'm thinking of.
See?
Hello! Why is it Asian NBC? There is an Asian business channel. It's it's not like NBC shows with, hello, welcome to Friends.
Right, so about the Nikkei and stuff like that?
I think so. He's
Nikkei.
It's coming.
We need coming.
Mike, I know you're very, very sad that Bono will not be performing at the Super Bowl this year.
That's no good.
The NFL has turned him down. He wanted to do a duet with J-Lo.
Why didn't they booter him up a little bit?
Let's see. They decided that the NFL says Bono's message, in keeping with the atmosphere of the Super Bowl, the message that Bono wanted to give, which I guess was, how could you be anti-football?
Probably anti-war.
It was an AIDS message, I believe.
Oh, it was an AIDS message.
Yeah.
So,
oh, no, I got that here. You're right, Buzz. He wanted to sing his new song, An American Prayer,
right.
To get attention to AIDS.
Right.
In Africa, and the NFL says, we decided we're not going to do that.
Something a little happier than
you
wanted.
Why step out?
They'd rather have that up with people. They still want that up with people thing.
Yes.
You know, well, honor America.
Janet Jackson, I think, and
right.
Maybe Beyonce Knowles.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's who's performing this year.
That surprises me because my experience going to the Super Bowl is that they are not necessarily profit motivated, but they're really into public service.
Always have.
You know, it's really not
right,
about.
Mike.
It's
you're
really
right.
Not
it's
about.
It's not about the money.
No. I can't understand why they don't
care about the money.
It's not.
They would not want to deliver a message that would benefit mankind.
Yeah.
That's what they're all about.
Hello! There's nothing about the NFL that's in any way money making oriented.
No, they're not, and they're certainly not about status.
No, absolutely not. Not the NFL.
Hello!
As we snuck into like three different levels at the commissioner's party by just grabbing handfuls of these little buttons you had to wear.
Hey, but they lit up.
That was the greatest sneak in I've ever done in my life.
But they lit up.
Oh, man.
These little buttons that you had to have to get into this swanky party.
Mm-hmm. That was in Tampa, right?
I think so. They had little lights on them, right. and there was like a line of 500 schmucks, and we were in that line waiting to get into this NFL party.
Alleged exclusive party for like 8,000 people.
Right.
But we were among those not in the 8,000 until we just walked up and scooped up my handful.
It's fun to do that. It's fun to sneak in.
Yeah.
No, what it was they have a line getting into this commissioner's party, and we have tickets to get into the everybody side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then right next to us is this line that gets into the gold side.
Right.
And the gold side, this one guy in front of us, one of those Tampa radio guys, scoops up a handful when this lady's not looking and then hands us these little buttons, which gets us into an inner sanctum thing. Then inside the inner sanctum is another owner's inner sanctum.
That's right. And we ended up crashing that one, too.
We crashed that as they hand us these other pins over the fence.
You kept talking to Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah, I was talking to Marty Schottenheimer about, what do you think of the new guy? And, right after Snyder took over.
And the NFL, we're going back to the Super Bowl this year to broadcast from Westwood One. And I got an information packet about this.
Right.
You know that thing that they have, the NFL experience?
Yes.
Where kids can throw footballs and
you still love taking your kid to that.
Yeah, right. And the great thing about that was that, you know, basically your kid just threw a football with something he could do at home, but he got to do it with all these bright colors, and it was a nice
and that's exactly what it is. He got to do it with bright colors.
And it was a nice little thing. Now they sent us a note this year saying, incidentally, the NFL experience now costs $10 to get in.
Are you kidding me?
$10 to get in.
So the hundreds of dollars that you spent on your Super Bowl ticket no longer will get you.
Yeah, and basically they always have the NFL experience in like a giant vacant lot.
What's great about it is they update it every year, you know. Like they haven't for the last 70 years had the little cutouts of NFL players that you can stick your head on top of like a total tard.
Come pose in the uniform of Paul Horner.
I mean, and they've got, that's their big thing. Yeah.
So they can't...
Take a field goal!
But they had a meeting, though. They must have had a meeting to decide to charge for the NFL experience. That's all right.
I remember the best one that you went to.
Which one?
Was the one they had like a little side area of just Packer memorabilia.
Oh,
and you were like a kid.
I was Packers versus New England Patriots. New England, right.
That's
down in,
exactly
New
right.
Orleans.
Yep, that was a good one.
So the NFL doesn't want Bono to sing about AIDS.
No.
But Janet Jackson is the choice. And $10 to get into the NFL experience. And This just in. Mrs. Doubtfire sucks. This okay. Just in.
Okay. All right.
I'm just getting out of the segment.
Almost
okay. Doing it. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God.
You know, Rob, for goodness sakes.
Yes, good gracious.
Be a dear and put that back in again. It didn't trip. You know,
he was being blunt as a spoon.
I don't want to alert anybody, but Tony, if you're listening,
Bacardi Limon.
The cart machine, the thing does not appear to be firing.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, forgot to mention that Tony, engineer Tony, who we met yesterday,
yes,
left us today in our office an empty bottle.
Yes,
of Bacardi Limon.
I'll pass along to Tony the next time he does that. Make it full.
Bacardi Limon.
We asked and said, "When did you drink?" He said, "Last night."
The whole thing.
We got a break. Joe. Oh, Joe Ardinger. And there's antique movies. And we come
this
right back.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Yep. They're rich, they're beautiful, and now they're looking for some new kicks. Three gorgeous sisters and their governess who are ready and willing to try it all in a new motion picture with a different twist.
The family that plays together is a very groovy family.
Don't miss The Swingin' Pussycats, the amorous adventures of four sex kittens who decide to stray from pad to pad to pad to make life more terrific.
Mama told us a man should get all he wants.
The Swingin' Pussycats are the perfect household pets, trained to purr and please. Just ask the man who's had one.
I can't believe that's the whole thing.
The movie with a whole lot of everything. The Swingin' Pussycats, in color from Hemisphere Pictures.
The Don and Mike Show.
They are Icelandic cowboys in the West. Don and Mike.
That was just a way of getting ready for this, that whatever that commercial was, that the Swingin' Pussycats thing. It's time for Joe Artinger's movie corner.
Yay.
Joe, come on in here. Let me turn your music on. Time for the Joe Show.
Joe. I love this music.
Of course, you know Joe Artinger is the world's oldest phone screener.
Yes, Otto today is wearing his favorite hat.
His Rolling Stones hat. Joe, how old are you?
39.
39, and when do you turn 40, Joe?
In May.
May. Well, I have to have a blowout on the show. We'll have to have a real, if you're not fired by then.
That's true.
But we'll have to have hold on, I'm hearing too many things at once here.
Check the focus of your...
We got the thing playing already. Hi, Charlie.
We both turned 40 in May.
Wow. Well, we got to have us a... We have to have a real shindig.
A real blowout.
No, like not just on the air. We got to have a little night.
The sound
can... Oh, you think like in real life?
I know it doesn't happen that often, but just... When's the last time we all had like a boys' night out?
Yeah. Do you know a place we could have it?
How about Mike's house?
I don't want to have it at a house. I want to go out to a bar.
That's what I say. That's...
You know any bars?
Right.
Yeah, I know some bars. Yeah, but I'm not doing that yet.
No matter what we do, I'd like it to end up with Charlie on the roof of a limo.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking limo. I'll pop for the limo.
Either way, yeah, I'm for that, too.
Okay, good, good, good.
Let's get a party for Joe and for Charlie for the 40th birthday.
Let's go down and get some steaks. You know what I mean? Make it that kind of night, you know?
Well, why don't we go all the way? Why don't we go to Atlantic City?
I, you know, you don't have to twist my arm.
You're talking about, when's your birthday, Joe?
Mine's May 28th.
You know, who wouldn't want a trip to Atlantic City in May?
I could do one of our limo trips down to Atlantic City.
Yeah, just get those guys together.
That would be awesome.
Okay?
I got connections down there.
I know you do.
I know, you know I do.
listening to, watching a movie.
We'll see a flash and hear a beep.
That is circa 1975. We bring Joe in because Joe's the guy. Oh, and here's his music. The reason I asked Joe his age, Joe, is
case study LSD.
At this point in most people's lives, 39 and for Joe, it's like being 39 and working the drive-in window.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But I like it.
I know you.
Yeah, he likes it and he's good at it.
I like it. It affords me the lifestyle that I'm accustomed to.
Joe, we like it that way too. And Joe found this these old. 8mm, 16mm films from the 1970s, the Educational Archives, Sex and Drugs. We have the LSD on one, the LSD one on right now. Can't you go back to the menu, Rob? So we can see exactly what's going on.
The LSD looks funny, though. They're all good, I'm guessing.
There's a bunch of people getting high.
And then they're doing like psychedelic effects with finger paint.
I first dropped acid when I was 18. I was over at these people's house one night. This guy I went to school with was over there and asked me if I wanted to try some acid. I had read about it in the newspapers and heard a few friends talk about it, so I was curious.
They're just showing pictures of her smoking a joint, though.
Yeah, and
so I decided.
She looks like one of the Spice Girls, and he looks like Elton John.
What I was waiting for.
She looks like she could be on Love Americans.
Absolutely,
though, doesn't she?
That classic 70s hair.
Waiting and nothing was happening.
But this is not the movie we wanted to see.
Now, are we going to see I Enjoy Being a Girl or something like that?
And a green and brown blouse.
Okay, there. Good job, Rob. All right, we're off the LSD now. That's good. Human growth. What the hell is this one, Joe?
That's another sex ed film.
Human growth. Do you think that's sex ed?
Cobra. What's the cobra? Heroin?
Out of the slime and darkness it comes to inflict its life-destroying poison.
That's right.
On the careless, the unwary, the unprotected.
And the cocky.
No sane person would deliberately expose himself.
I believe the human growth one is about, you know, the growing pubic hair and stuff like that. That could be for another day.
Well, let's go with It's Wonderful Being a Girl.
They're all good.
That's the one that we talked about.
Not just pubic hair, Rob.
Here we go. It's Wonderful Being a Girl. This is something they showed back in public schools in the 1968.
Ah, perfect.
Many young girls were introduced to the topic of menstruation with films such as this one. Normally, the girls were ushered into a separate classroom and were shown what amounted to a commercial for a company's feminine hygiene product. 12-year-old Libby learns about menstruation firsthand. Oh, I hope she washed. And discovers how Modest problems products can help.
Ah, Modest.
Is
it Modest or Modest?
Modest, because it's a brand name.
Didn't Ed McMahon say that or something? Dismiss.
yeah, but this is Modest.
because it's capitalized.
Uh-huh.
After the film, the girls would be given modest brochures and calendars
right.
so they could keep track of their monthly cycle.
I remember
that. Right, let's...
Like fifth, sixth grade, I think.
You remember?
I remember the girls being ushered away for a film. And
I, Buzz, tell the truth. You snuck into the classroom.
I wanted to.
Right,
and then the boys were ushered away for their film.
We'll roll it here now on Joe's film. What's the deal, Rob?
Oh, I'm ready when you are.
Well, yeah, roll it. Get it. Let's do it.
Well, here
girls,
we are.
Two girls riding a bicycle.
Oh,
it really is.
There's trouble.
That one. Okay. See you at the pool? Okay, bye.
Oh, bye.
You can't have your period at the pool.
No.
Here's this young girl coming home.
Hi, Mom. Dude, how do you feel?
Fine.
Did you have a nice time?
Uh-huh.
Did you do any painting?
Finished this.
She painted a vase with flowers.
All red.
That's beautiful.
I like it.
Oh, darling, that reminds me. I bought some flowers for tonight. Did you arrange them for me before the guests?
Mom, I'm bleeding.
Mom, will it be okay if I take my bath first? I feel kind of icky.
Oh, sure, darling.
Oh, God.
Are
oh,
you still menstruating?
A little. Did you buy the sanitary napkins for me today?
Mm-hmm. They're on your bed. You just go take a nice bath and you can fix the flowers later.
Mommy, the water's red.
Mommy looks a little psycho.
Here's the neighbor.
Here's the neighbor.
Oh, dear.
It says a few days
Hi,
later.
Mom. Hi, dear.
That's probably the way not to do it.
Did you see that dress at the teen shop?
What dress?
The one that was pale yellow with flowers across here and a sash in the back?
Pale yellow.
Oh, I know the one.
Oh, Mom, could I have it?
Libby, where would you wear a dress like that?
I'm as old as Jean, and she wears clothes like that.
Yes.
Come here, Libby. Jean is more developed than you are, dear.
Okay.
Oh, you'll have your little girl looks and shapes.
I know, but we're the same age. But you're two different people.
Oh, dear.
This is great. Some girls grow up sooner than others. Some not till they're 15 or 16.
Oh, right. What's wrong there, little Lucy, or whatever her name is?
I hope I won't have to wait that long.
I'm sure you won't, dear. Before you know it, a most important thing will happen.
Okay, what's that?
What's that? You'll begin to menstruate. Do you know what that means?
It means you can have a baby.
That's right. So your body prepares for it.
What do you mean?
Well, your body makes a warm, soft place out of blood and tissue for a baby to grow.
A warm, soft place.
And when there
place.
Is no baby, the body gets rid of this blood and tissue through the lower part of the body.
That's menstruating?
Uh-huh. It'll happen every month for a period of a few days. That's why it's sometimes also called the period.
I don't know if I'll like it.
Bacardi Limon.
Why, Libby, you said you couldn't wait to grow up.
I know, but it's kind of scary.
Oh, not at all, sweetheart.
Yeah, this is one of those movies you don't have to see it to get it.
No. Sure.
You can picture the lines on the
screen.
But
I'll tell you, I wish they could see this lady, because both mothers are very scary looking.
Come on, let me show you something.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time to
wait till you see this.
Go ahead and open them. I've seen them in my magazine.
Oh, there's the ad.
What do you
right, Modest.
How to use them?
I guess I better.
All right. You'll need this sanitary belt, too, to hold them
Boy.
In place.
Belt?
It was tough in those days, huh?
Under your panties.
Okay.
Then you put the short end of the napkin through the front
pocket. I don't have a lot of experience with this.
Yeah. Right.
But man, for a 12-year-old girl, even in 1978,
mm-hmm.
they must think she's going to open a vein. I mean, look how big that pad is.
Yeah, well, you can't be too careful when you're wearing a pale yellow dress.
It looks a little the technology looks a little antiquated.
Yeah, it's.
I think they've come a long
they
way.
They have. You're correct.
But won't it leak through?
No.
Looks like a pillow and a slingshot.
Exactly.
So there's nothing to worry about.
And Libby.
See this blue polyethylene
yes.
on the bottom?
Yes, Mommy.
Side? Uh-huh. That's a special moisture-proof shield to prevent accidents.
This is a commercial.
Besides, yeah. you should change to a fresh napkin every 3 or 4 hours.
What do I do with the one I take off?
Okay.
No, you wrap it in toilet tissue or a paper towel.
Bring it to Mommy.
In the wastebasket.
But, Mom, suppose it happens at school or someplace where I don't have this.
You look in the restroom. If there's not a napkin dispenser there, you ask the nurse or a teacher. Oh, and Libby, I bought you this. It's a special sanitary panty you might want to try instead of the belt.
And there's the ad for Modell.
Commercial, right.
Yeah.
You might find it more comfortable than the belt.
Doesn't look comfortable. I could use that for a night of heavy drinking.
That belt didn't look comfortable, though.
Like my regular pants.
To prevent accidents.
And that giant loaf of bread they want this little girl to put between her legs.
Talk. Wow, I'll say we did. Oh, honey, you might want to keep the things in this drawer.
The period drawer.
And they'll be handy for whenever you want something.
Whenever you're bleeding.
And you know, the mom's got one of those brassieres on that we always talk about, one of those iron brassieres.
Right.
Pointy one. Tip. Yeah, the point.
Yeah. Hold on, now she's at the pool.
Uh-oh.
Here's little Libby at the pool.
Hi, Libby.
Hi, Jean. How's the water?
Oh, it's okay.
Guess what?
What?
Boy, did I have some talk with my mother.
What about?
Menstruation.
Oh, that.
What do you mean, oh, that?
Nothing.
Well, you knew about it before?
Sure.
How long?
About a year.
Do you?
Do I what?
Menstruate.
Of course, Billy.
How come you never told me?
I don't know. I always felt it was kind of personal. And besides, it's nothing special. It happens to every girl.
What happens to every girl?
Yeah.
Womanhood.
Now everybody's talking about it.
What do you call
it? And how about these smart bathing caps these girls are wearing?
That's very, that's late 60s.
What's that?
I don't know. Some people do. Hey, come on. Let's go swimming.
No.
You go.
She called it the curse.
Okay, bye.
Oh, really? The curse.
Oh, that's an icky word.
My mother called it menstruation.
Mine does, too.
I guess we're kind of lucky.
You mean to learn about it from them?
Yeah.
But I guess you really don't know what it's like until it happens to you.
Come on, let's go swimming.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see if it happens in the pool.
Later that summer.
There she is playing the guitar.
She is with the iron bra on again.
It was so crowded in the store.
How crowded
what,
was it?
Mom?
It was so crowded.
Oh, guess what, Mom?
You're menstruating.
How did you know?
Oh, I expected it.
How do you feel? All right, like, I guess.
Like stabbing you in the heart.
As usual. Are you sure you feel like bowling?
Feel like bowling?
Well, you're right, I guess. There's no need to mope around. Just because you're menstruating.
No reason to mope around, guys.
Okay, there's the drop.
Now, that's, I agree with that point.
Just because you're menstruating.
Go bowling.
Spread the word.
Get together, they talk things over. So naturally, Libby told Jean that she was menstruating for the first time. Jean could tell that Libby was feeling uncertain, a little unsure of herself.
The puddle under her...
Oh, God!
She suggested that Libby might rather not bowl. But you know Libby, to her, any sport was a challenge.
The challenge is to keep from mussing up the floor.
Here's Libby bowling with her period.
Strike!
Yay! Way to go, Libby. And look, she's not bleeding or anything.
And another strike.
Strike! For another girl menstruating. All the girls who have had their periods are getting strikes.
Menstruate and bowl at the same time.
They're having a groovy time.
Of course.
This movie is out of sight.
But you realize what's going on here is they're showing you that you can wear modest and still go out on the town.
Yes.
What it means to grow up. Well, some of you may already know something about it.
It's another teacher with the pointy bra.
So you realize there's nothing frightening or embarrassing about leaving childhood and then...
You know, it's frightening. Look at these little girls' faces.
Understand better.
These are some ugly little girls.
Well, you have to... I think you have to account for the hairstyles, Don.
So let's begin...
Especially the hairstyle of the teacher.
Now, actually...
She looks like the woman who tried to assassinate Gerald Ford.
9 months...
Squeaky from...
microscopic living organism. A single cell that resulted from the joining together of two other cells.
Uh-huh.
One from your mother and one from your father.
Oh, now, where are they going to talk about the pad and everything here?
I think they're done with that, Don.
Done with that. We're moving on to making babies.
That's baby-making time.
Language organ called the uterus. There, it divided into more cells...
Well, heck, this isn't any good.
No.
Turn this off, Rob. We got about a minute. Let's preview another segment. Let's preview the next one. Because I like that one. I like the one about girls menstruating.
It was wonderful. I wanted to hear how the cells got together.
What about, why don't you go to human growth? As long as we're on the whole health and, you know, young Josie learns about the mechanics of human growth.
Human growth.
Second edition.
All right, you might be bored by this one.
Second edition.
I'll just watch a second of it to see if I am.
Advisory assistance from staff members of the University of Oregon. Or screwing.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Rob. Good eye, Rob.
Rob.
Go to their website.
Rob.
Now, here's a young girl.
They use the sitcom music, don't they?
She's sitting down with her. Is that a
what is
broom?
She doing to the boy?
A stick?
What is she doing with that pine cone?
In this tribe, the hair was cut in a special style when a boy reached adolescence. Josie, don't bother George.
Oh, this one's...
Josie and George.
George is looking
this one
at
sucks.
Naked Turn on... Indian pictures.
Yeah. Turn on the beginning of...
LSD?
Okay.
Or hold up, there's others you can look at.
Okay.
There are more. Marijuana?
That has Sonny Bono.
Oh, yeah. Marijuana
that
was
long
very
one.
Boring.
Is it really, Joe?
It is. Well, he sounds like he's high through the whole movie.
Well, turn it on, then.
All right.
Let's just hear it for a minute, and it'll be the one.
Look at the picture of Sonny.
In an attempt to talk to kids on their own level about marijuana, the filmmakers employ a spokesman for the young generation, Sonny Bono.
That's right.
Perhaps his gold lame suit and hip lingo did connect with young people. Many thought Sonny was high during the filming.
Wow.
Let's see if he looks high. This is a bus scene.
What do you mean a bus scene?
Well, a bus scene. Everybody's
a bus scene. You're getting busted.
Cops are coming.
Oh. And they're using that dating game
dating
lettering.
Dating game lettering, yeah. It says marijuana. An Avanti Films presentation with
Sonny Bono.
We could fast forward through this because they're all going to get high.
Okay, they're getting high.
Cops are going to bust them.
And all we're doing now is teasing the next installment of Joe's Theater.
That's right. All right, now we're skipping ahead.
We're going.
Cops
going
to break in on this there, Joe?
Yeah, they're
going
to knock the door.
Bunch of guys are rolling.
They're all getting arrested.
They're getting busted.
This is a free country and no one has the right to take away my constitutional rights.
I didn't do anything. I didn't do it.
Where does Sonny Bono come in, Joe?
Pretty soon.
Okay.
The American
no.
He's in a golden lace suit, bro. What do you think he's chipped?
Marijuana is legal all over the world.
This had to be 70s.
68.
This is 68?
68.
Marijuana legal.
Yeah,
come on,
bud. No, Joe was supporting us.
Just putting a bunch of people in cars. Police cars, of course.
Good, bad, right, wrong.
That's Sonny Bono.
Or it's that in this film. Right, wrong, good, bad. Those are things for you to decide.
Yeah,
it
doesn't he sound high?
Yeah, he does. So many people have already decided for themselves and you whether grass is good or bad. What's most important...
He is wearing a gold lame suit.
So without any preaching from this film, let's examine the facts and only the facts. There are too many false impressions and prejudices to do it
so
any
high.
Other way.
Okay, we have...
Wow.
We have to stop it right there with an obviously high Sonny Bono doing it.
Sure looked high to me.
Yeah. Doing an anti-marijuana film from 1968, once again rescued from the archives from, I'm calling him now the secret weapon of the Don and Mike Show.
Amen.
Joe Ardinger.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Otto.
Oh, and Joe, get ready now. It's the rotating random phone scam.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is where Joe just says, "Do you want to get on the air?" That's what you do, right? You just turn the radios down if you happen to pick up a telephone?
All I do, because some people are confused, all I do is make sure that you don't have your radio up and you don't have your window open and you have a good signal. So call in.
Here you go. Anybody can get through right now. This is why we do the phone scam. It's a challenge.
Right. Thanks, Otto.
For you to get through. Our phone number is 877-365-3636. We take no prisoners. It's the rotating random phone scam. Whether you're a 12-year-old girl who's just menstruating for the first time.
Or a former rocker that was high doing a public service announcement about marijuana.
And later skied into a tree. Call us at 877.
Coincidence?
365-3636. And just think about this.
Uh-huh.
As we go to break in the phone scan, the last thing Sonny Bono said
right
before he hit that tree.
Right.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tony Perkins has gone coast to coast to California's capital, Sacramento. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Chief. Good morning, everybody. We got a crowd of people here.
Warfare here for Good Morning America, for Railfare 99, or the nationally syndicated Don and Mike radio shows in town today. These folks are excited.
Listen to the Don and Mike Show for your chance to win a trip for two to Super Bowl XXXVIII, courtesy of AOL for broadband. With AOL top speed, making your web pages load up to 2 times faster. And it's only on the Don and Mike Show.
Bacardi Limon.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
They cherish most of their listeners. Don and Mike.
There you go.
Yeah, we do.
My phone number is 877-365-3636. Canada, 800-636-1067.
Remember, we just want to say,
let's do it. Let's get your calls. Bring it. With the rotating random phone scan, often imitated, never duplicated. It's back.
Yes, it is.
And this is where anything goes. Really, right now, for this segment, anybody can call.
Right.
Let's do it.
Here's the proof.
Let's see what's happening. Let's gauge the pulse. Don and Mike Show, phone scan. Hello.
Hey, hello. How you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
I got to tell you, I'm a real estate settlement agent. I've been driving the roads of Maryland every day, all day, for a couple of months. I just started listening to your show a couple of weeks ago, and you guys are the absolute prescription for my stress relief.
That is very kind of you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
I laughed so hard on the last segment, almost wet myself.
That's good. You know, go ahead and don't hold back on that. Wet yourself.
Use a napkin and a belt.
Let it go.
Guys, keep up the good work. I love you.
Thank you.
We're all wearing those contraptions that we saw on the administration show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello? Yeah, you got a bad cell. Are you there?
I'm there. Do you hear me?
No. Call back. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Right, hi.
Vegas loves you.
Thank you, my friend. We love Las Vegas.
I'd love to see you guys when you come out here. I wish you'd let us know where you're going to be and all that so we can say hi.
Do me a favor. Say hi to my good friend Jacqueline Vargas.
Hey, listen, real quick, what do Siegfried and the Tiger have in common?
That's a joke.
Hold on. Yeah. As great as you are,
you said anything goes.
Except jokes.
Longstanding rule.
Yeah, we said that yesterday, actually. Don explained
except
that.
Except joke.
Great detail.
I will give my phone number.
You'll give your phone number.
I will give my phone number.
All right, hold on. Is it the number that I see here on caller ID?
255.
Okay, yep, got it.
Okay.
Okay.
What do Siegfried and the Tiger have in common?
What?
They both know what Roy tastes like.
Okay, it's good. His phone number is safe. He's good.
Never had a winner.
No, that's true. Think we ever have.
We've had a winner on Make Us Laugh, but never.
And I kind of saw it coming, and it was still funny.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a damn good joke.
That's good. Wow. Here you go. You've got the DVD copy, a box set of the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David as himself in a candid comedy interview with everybody on the show.
Mm-hmm. Holy crap, I've never heard of it, but I'll take anything from you.
It's funny. You'll like it. Trust me, you'll find it. It's a Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's from HBO. It's the box set. Thank you. Hold on a second.
Thank you.
That never happened.
That would have won on Make Us Laugh also.
First. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hello, Don and Mike.
And yeah, hold on.
Hello.
The great thing about that now is, now, Mike, we've got one in the bag.
Right.
That the next time somebody calls...
Yeah, you see, people never win. You guys never give them a chance. And we both laughed at that.
Was it good? They both know.
And you know, it really does
Roy
work.
What tastes like.
It's probably the reason we've been doing the show this long. It really does work that normally when it's a good one, we're both laughing.
We're ready to.
You just can't help it.
Oops, I'm sorry. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hello?
Over the vacation, I was watching about Michael Jackson and the Neverland Ranch, and they had that party for Michael Jackson. And do you guys remember Paul Walton, who really bothered the heck out of you?
Yeah. Paul Walton.
Well, oh, couldn't believe it, but they actually were looking for Michael Jackson supporters.
Was he one?
Super celebrity stalker. Where do you think he'd be?
Now listen. First off, kudos to you for being such a longtime listener and remembering this guy's name.
The guy that used to have pictures of himself with celebrities.
Yeah, and the shoebox full of pictures that he carried with him with the autographs of everybody.
This guy actually got on Oprah's TV show. by being the guy who was famous for having his picture taken.
Well, wasn't he also
people?
Like one of the Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire guys?
He was
first?
One of the finalists.
The last time you talked to him was when you were talking about that, and you tried to get him on your show to date somebody,
yes.
And he was the super weasel.
All right, so good pull. That guy appeared where?
It was on local LA news. They were talking about the Neverland Ranch, and they were having a party in support for Michael Jackson, and he was one of the people saying how great Michael was, and that he can't believe that the charges against him. And all he was trying to do is get on TV,
and
Paul. Turn himself out.
Yeah, I'm Paul. And he really is that kind of guy.
But I never know what he looked like, so he just looked like the mega super weasel.
Yeah, with an oversized head.
You got that right. All right, that's a great call. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for checking
it. Paul Walton. I'm Paul Walton. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Our longtime listeners will remember him.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hi, you're on the air. Phone scam.
I wish that I could tell you something funny, but I just love you guys. I'm one of your lesbian listeners.
Oh, well. Wonderful.
And I have to tell you, Don, I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time, but I never could get through. I think that your son, Bart, has the sexiest voice. And coming from a lesbian, that's a lot. We all think he's got an incredibly sexy voice.
How about that? You're going to have to pass that along to him.
I'll take that along. He's about to turn 19. I'll take that along and pass that along. See, in previous years...
How do you think he'll take it?
That it would be a compliment.
Sure.
We'd be willing to... A couple girlfriends and I, we'd be willing to give Bart a birthday present if he would be... would be up for it.
So you're bisexual?
Yes.
You're going to pass that along, Don?
Wow. You're omnisexual.
You know, here's the problem, Buzz. I won't pass it along,
right.
But he has friends.
He'll hear about this.
Yeah.
You know, as far as lesbians that call the show, this woman has a very fetching voice herself. Are you a lipstick lesbian?
Yes, very much so.
Could you possibly give us the celebrity you most resemble?
Linda Carter. Young.
Oh, young Linda
right on,
Carter.
Yeah. Well, right on.
All right.
Well, listen, if I might be so bold, I'm flattered by the fact that you find my son to be so attractive, but consider what made him.
Yes.
Might I just throw that out?
Perhaps you test the favor before.
or you know, is there a better bonding experience for a father and son?
You know, we're all up for that. We've even discussed it. We would love to.
Oh, I agree, Rob. That makes Bart the anti-stossel.
There was a meeting?
How gross would that be if I was... Well, first off, I wouldn't be there because Freya would kill me.
Yeah.
But let's say I'm there with these girls and we're naked. Bart comes in. Now, how am I possibly...
That's just not right on any level whatsoever.
No.
Your partner, Linda Carter look-alike, is your partner a lipstick lesbian as well?
Yes.
Oh, so you're both little lesbian hotties.
Lord of my
soul. Actually, all of us are.
All of us, you mean there are more of you?
How many?
Yeah, thank you, Buzz.
We have a group of five that we hang around together.
Well, you must come down for a visit.
Yes.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Well,
what city?
Baltimore.
Baltimore? Well, you should come down. And
you must might take a field trip down to the nation's capital.
Yes.
We would love to.
Beautiful. You know, hold on. We'll actually get your number. Hold on. I'll pass that along to my son.
Okay.
I will, because that's kind of makes an 18-year-old lad.
We're having the lesbians over for tea.
That's really incredible, because normally when five lesbians get together, they're a basketball team.
No favors for you, Rob.
Yeah, Rob, that's true. Don't ruin the asexual Rob Spiewak.
Oh, no, that's funny. Hello, Don and Mike. That's a good
very,
joke.
Very funny. But he's asexual.
That's a good joke. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, my name is Jim, and I met my wife on eTrainables.com.
I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren.
Where's your car detector now, see?
That guy has a funny joke. On eTrainables.com.
eTrainables.com.
Hello there, Todd and Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi.
Just a hello from Toronto. One day, hopefully, we get you guys up here. We pull you out of Buffalo right now. A lot of big fans up here that listen to you guys religiously.
Right on. And, WBUF, spotlight on Buffalo.
What would be the temperature in Toronto right now?
Oh, I'll tell you what. We're in a deep freeze.
Hey, but don't give us the Canadian temperatures.
Give us the American temperature.
American temperature.
Honestly, about one.
One degree.
Wow. 1 degree.
You got it. We got dumped on last night, too. Probably about 2 feet of snow.
So I guess technically, I think our calls from Portland, Maine would indicate that it's colder there than it is in Toronto.
Agreed. That's because America is the greatest nation.
You turned it into a competition. Good for you, you patriot.
All right, see you later. Thank you for the call.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. From Toronto. Hello, yeah. Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
It looks like a drive-by shooting.
What, did you get that?
Nope, but I often don't.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike. Phone scan.
Hey. Hey, yeah, just want to call you guys. About the first week of December, when you all announced that Leah Remini was pregnant. A few days before that, I tried calling in twice to tell you guys that she was pregnant because my wife and I watch King of Queens rather religiously.
Uh-huh, sure.
And I guess my wife has an eye for that kind of thing. She said, Leah's pregnant. And I said, I should call Donna Mike because they always talk about Leah Remini on the air.
Well, you know, we called and left what I thought was a very heartwarming...
A very long voicemail. Yeah,
I thought it was.
We've not heard a word back from her.
And also, this guy's not being that clever, but you guys talked that she looked fat.
Yeah,
that's almost the same thing.
Hello.
True.
Don and Mike. Have fun at home tonight, Rob.
Gary's out of town.
Ah,
of course
he is. Don and Mike, hello. Hello there.
Hello.
Yeah, phone scan. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
You guys rock. Spokane, Washington loves you.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, I have a quick question for Don. I've got high def TV. He's talking about that cone vision. I can't get DirecTV to fess up to it.
Cone
vision? What's cone vision?
Yeah, regarding high def and how the picture is not actually high def. He was saying that it was a cone. Cone vision is the word I heard.
The only context that cone was used on any recent show was the story Rob was talking about the guys that were sodomized
with the pine cones.
Pine cones and golf balls. I don't know. I have high def through an over the air signal. That's how I get my local stations.
Right, not through a cone.
Not through a cone. Uh-huh. And then the rest of the stuff just comes through the...
You can get high def on a over the air signal. You can get it with some DirecTV, and you can get some Cox cable.
I know what you were talking about. It was
or your cable.
It was a commercial I had seen. It wasn't cone. It was Zoom.
You know, I thought it was regarding...
Will you explain it to me, please?
All right, I'm going
to
hang up on you.
Babbling.
What's going on? Hi, Charlie.
Zoom.
Voom.
Yeah.
Voom. Thanks, Charlie.
What is Voom?
It's Voom.com, and I've seen the ad saying if you have high-def TV, you're missing out all this stuff. They have 21 high-def channels that are not available through DirecTV, and it's a competitor of DirecTV.
Oh, I'm waiting for that, baby.
It'll give you your local channels with HDTV, but again, this is why DirecTV's got me by the nuts. DirecTV's got the NFL Sunday ticket.
Right.
And they signed an
extension. Yeah, they do.
So for a lot of people like me, I've got the high-def TV.
Do you think this will motivate DirecTV to get on the stick and provide more high-def channels? Because really, right now they have about 8.
I don't know, but you know, our company is talking about that there's talk that our company may buy DirecTV in the coming year.
Oh, no, that answers that question. It'll probably be 2030 before we get, high-def.
Hello.
Hello.
What, Charlie?
I like the way Charlie can stop.
Charlie
comes in and all of a sudden we both stop talking and stare.
I thought Rupert Murdoch just bought DirecTV.
He tried but failed.
Oh.
So it's up for grabs again.
Great.
Thanks for coming in, Charlie.
Were you trying to bust Buzz's balls there?
No, not at all.
Yeah. No, it's an ongoing thing, this whole DirecTV negotiation.
I got a new nickname for you, pal. The human break.
What?
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
He's charming.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
All right. Hello?
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 What?
You're talking about that video from the 70s where girl grew up menstruating all this BS.
Yeah, well, no, she was menstruating blood, not BS.
Yeah,
yes.
Not BS, sir.
When I was a kid growing up, I was watching that movie.
What was that, this morning?
No.
Get out of here, you
dope.
He had
the mind of a child.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I heard another hazing incident that happened at a basketball camp where the guys used those travel toothbrush holders to sodomize the younger kids.
Oh,
jeez.
God.
Oh my God, people seem to enjoy putting stuff up other people's...
Don and Mike, hello.
Want a bottom seaside?
That's Takimaki Beachside.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, phone scan. The music's on, that means we're running out of time. Hello, phone scan.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
You guys think it's kind of odd that Patty Heaton's running the ads on your show?
We don't have anything to do with that, sir.
No, it's money. Money's green.
If it was us, we'd turn it away.
Everybody's money is green. I just thought it was fun.
Hey, come on. That's the goodbye girl.
Her money is as green as her genitals.
Oh.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, there's. Why, hello, there's Don.
Hello, there.
How do you put on this here tampons?
Get out of here. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, hello from Rochester.
Hi there.
How are you?
Come on, get to it, my friend.
Sorry, buddy. Hey, listen, if you guys watch that Apprentice show at all, are you into that at all?
Watch the what? The Donald Trump, show?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Haven't seen it, no.
Oh, you got to tune into that. It's a pretty good show, seeing that these people are actually competing for a real job.
I did read a job. Like a high-paying executive position.
I was just doing Dick Robinson.
Oh, sorry.
That's all I was doing there.
I did read something about Donald Trump.
Yes.
As much of a dick as he is.
Yeah.
He's pretty great that they were having a press conference yesterday. NBC was announcing their fall lineup, and Donald Trump was there. Oh, hold on, Eddie. Yeah, we're out of time. You're the last caller, so you got to get a prize.
Oh.
Donald Trump, I might have had the story. Hold on. He's at a news conference.
I've got it here, too, and we talked about it earlier in the week as well. He's continuing his tirade against Les Moonves.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, it's continuing. Hold on.
He's feeling cocky.
Oh, so you're racing me now.
No, I'm giving background while you look for your material.
Here you go. Okay, he can't stand him. He said if Leslie Moonves, our boss, our CBS boss, was a contestant on The Apprentice show, I would have fired him by the third episode. He also said that, the morning show on CBS is broadcast from a building that Donald Trump used to own.
Right.
He also said that Donald Trump did an awful job negotiating his rent and lease in that building.
Les Moonves said that?
Yeah. No, Donald Trump said that.
Oh, okay. But you said Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, yes, Donald Trump owned this building, the GM building.
And he accuses Leslie Moonves of being a bad negotiator when he negotiated the terms of the lease.
Because Donald Trump took him for all of that. He also said there's this talk. Donald Trump said that CBS canceled his Miss Universe.
That's the big issue. That's the big issue with Donald Trump.
Donald Trump yesterday at this press conference was saying, not only is Les Moonves the worst executive in the history of TV, that's a quote.
Right.
He said, I have letters from CBS telling me, please don't take the Miss Universe pageant away, and all you have to do is call CBS and ask them to show you the copies of the letters that I have.
He's a bitter guy.
Yeah. That CBS said, we have no comment on this
at all.
We have absolutely no comment. But he said, the quote was, Les Moonves is the most highly overrated person in television.
Wow. You know what? Yeah. I don't feel one way or another about Donald Trump or Les Moonves, but I'll tell you what I like when I see this battle going on. Wow. I feel strongly enough about this. They ought to box.
Yeah.
You ought to get both of them in. You know, get a celebrity boxing match between those two.
Sure.
And Mike,
who would you take in that?
Well, see, we have knowledge of both men.
I go with Moonves.
We work for one of them. However, when we were on in New York, we rented apartments from another one.
Uh-huh.
We did, Donna. Now you're torn. I'm talking strictly as a boxing analyst. Who would you go with? I think you got to go with Moonves.
Go with Trump.
You go with Trump?
Trump's got the bigger build. He's meaner, I think.
I think Leslie Moonves folds.
I think that
Donald Trump would come up, and Donald Trump would do something like hit him in the nuts.
Right.
And then Leslie Moonves would do that whole, don't hurt me, don't hurt me.
It's a low blow. All right, I'm going to go with Moonves on this. I think he's the younger, fitter man, I believe.
But it's funny to see Donald Trump.
They both like younger women and things like that? Don't they both like,
doesn't?
Well, no, I mean, doesn't, who is Les Moonves? Isn't he going out with Joan Chen or something like that?
He was at one point, yeah.
And then you got Marla Maples and stuff.
And what's the age difference there between
Joan Chen?
It's not Joan, is it?
What's her name?
Joan? Julie Chen?
Julie Chen. Julie,
but they dated on the QT for a long time while she was securing lots of great CBS promotions.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, see, I think he might be dirty, too.
Right.
You know, he might be a cheater, too.
To give you an idea of how pompous, what a pompous ass he is, too, on this show, they broke the 16 contestants into two groups, and the group of eight that won
their prize was to not get kicked off, and they got to go up and see his apartment that he lives in.
Oh, that was he is an ass.
Listen, everybody loves the show. The show's killing in the ratings.
It's on right after Friends.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, but Buzz, a lot of stuff has been on after Friends.
That's true, but it's done well, too.
Has anybody also about Donald Trump really done an analysis of his hair? What does he do with his hair?
It is not.
Yeah, it's like wrapped around like cotton candy.
It's not a comb. It's not a comb over. No. Because it's a comb around.
It's like he's grown it long enough.
Yeah, Mike,
and
you're
he
right.
He it down in the front and then he twirls it. Rob did that. It's like twisted.
Letterman's been making fun of it.
Listen, my friend, the last caller here on the phone scan, you've won the Curb Your Enthusiasm box set. First season, Curb Your Enthusiasm from Larry David at HBO. Also, you've won the DV of your choice, courtesy of Borders, a customized movie library with a Build Your Own DVD box set event, and that is from Borders. So enjoy that, and thanks for calling the show.
Thank you very much.
And that was Rochester, right? That's where you're from?
You got it, Rochester, right. New York.
Radio station WHTK.
Long-time affiliate.
Thank you for the call, my friend.
Love you.
That was a good phone scam.
Absolutely.
That was a good one.
Yee-hoo!
We had some lesbians. We had some
Lupez.
And when we come back, here you go. Who says we don't get the big guests on the show? I know you've never heard of them, but there are a couple of girls who have written a book called Predicting the Penis.
Okay.
Wow.
This is just about as gay as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
What a man's neck, wrists, and fingers say about his penis.
I can't wait.
No.
You fag. We will be right. Just the way you said, I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. We'll be the undercard of that boxing match.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come here. I want everybody together to go ahead and say, penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina. Come on, y'all, say it.
Penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina.
Well, good, great.
The Don and Mike Show. The keynote speakers at the BM Banquet, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let's see, we're going to have Joe Buck. The NFC Championship game this weekend with Carolina and Philadelphia. Joe Buck will join us, I think, from Carolina in a couple of seconds here. On the telephone now, we have, I told you, the girls who have written Predicting the Penis.
Yep. Predicting the Penis is, I just wonder if the book is exactly what it says.
What a man's neck, wrists, and fingers say about his penis.
Mm, all right, very good.
Let's see what it says here. The girls' names now, Mike, are Ann and Joyce.
Okay.
And they say that they don't predict the size of a man's penis, but they figured out what does. So let's welcome them now. Their website, I've been told to hit this, is funwithptp.com.
I get that.
And here they are now. Hi, girls.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, it's Ann and...
This is Ann. And this is Joyce.
Ann Joyce.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, boys. How are you?
We're doing great. Okay, now everybody's heard, you know, if you have big feet.
Well, the stories, too. Did you hear the one about the nose or the one about the index finger? You know, it's not just nose and feet.
Yeah, we've heard all of that. But what's the... I've not heard this one about...
You use the wrist, the fingers, and the neck. I'm curious about the neck part of it.
Of course you've never heard it before. It's completely original.
Oh,
it's
very nice.
It's original.
I'm very happy for this.
That's right. It's a total formula. It's more than just one part of your body, gentlemen, that we need to assess in order to determine the quality of your assets.
Hmm.
I know where we're going.
So the neck, specifically the neck, how does that work into your formula?
Well, you see, we don't take just one part separately, though. It's not the neck of every man. It's the neck on that particular man. Because
all right, honey, let me just jump in here for a second.
And honey, I miss you.
Let's use my neck. Because I've had a big neck my entire life.
Wow.
My entire life. When I was in high school, I had, a 17.5-inch neck. My neck size now is, I think, 18.
18?
18. And I've recently lost 70 pounds, like in the last year. So it's not like I'm a fat guy like Jim Belushi. But my neck has always been gigantic. How did you know? That would be one key, because I do, incidentally.
That would be one
gigantic.
Clue.
But it all speaks to the formula?
It all speaks to the formula.
Because I, too, have an 18-inch neck.
And what if I told
you?
Actually, to be more comfortable, it would be 18 and a half inches.
And what if I was to tell you that, well, my neck and my penis are virtually interchangeable?
Oh, no. I would run like hell, honey.
18 inches around.
Right, we would have a lot of fun thinking about it, but we would definitely not take you home.
I mean, I wouldn't even have a girl to have sex with you if that was the case.
All right. So why is a man's neck, his wrist, and his finger? What can you tell about his penis from his neck, his wrists, and his fingers?
Okay, well, it's not just the neck, the wrist, and the fingers. The
okay.
penis is an actual formula. P equals BT, that's body type, plus lowercase s, that's shoulders. They're important, but not that important. Neck, capital N, it's very important to assess possible. You know, it's part of the clue for girth, diameter, and for length.
Uh-huh.
And arm and leg segments, okay?
Jesus.
Plus hands, plus fingers squared.
Jesus. How many like cosmopolitans did you have to down before you came up with this one?
A whole bunch.
Girls.
I had 30 years of hands-on experience, darling.
Wow.
Now, here's a question they supplied for us, so I'm curious to see what the answer is.
Yeah. Okay.
Why should petite women want to steer clear of men with long necks?
Oh, well, some women who are short possess shorter internal parts.
Right.
And a man with a very long neck and combined with very long arm segments, leg segments, very long fingers, very long toes, probably is not going to be her best fit.
Her best fit.
So when you would date a guy, before you say would have any kind of romantic interlude with him, would you bring a yardstick with you, or could you just eyeball a guy?
But now we don't need a yardstick because we've got the formula.
The formula, but I mean, I would imagine the formula requires a little bit of measuring, doesn't it?
No.
It doesn't?
Your mind's eye.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right.
What's so fun about it.
Explain that.
It's all fuel for fantasy. It's all mind play. Kind of like foreplay, but it's mind play.
All right, you know, then I've got another question, and this might help everybody understand it a little bit more, even though it's mind play. Give me a celebrity that everybody would know, a male, and then, you know, analyze him like you would analyze. And tell me, what do you think the size of his penis would be?
Let me throw out some names. George Clooney.
Because I haven't done an evaluation.
All right, how about Ben Affleck? He's all over the place.
Haven't really looked at him. I can tell you that in my opinion.
Yeah?
I'm sure he'll be very happy to hear this. I think Robin Williams probably has a really wide.
No. Funny you should
say
that.
Wow.
This is not staged.
This is not happening. I cannot believe my good fortune today. What about Steve Martin?
This has to be staged.
I haven't evaluated him as closely.
This really has to be staged.
Let's see. Now, did you ladies have any idea that we were having a debate about the funny properties of Robin Williams and Steve Martin? Did you know that was happening today?
No.
See? So you think Robin Williams is huge?
I think that he has a very wide.
It does, Don. It does. Absolutely.
doesn't make me happy or unhappy.
No, I was asking Mike.
That's happy. Right.
All the sizes we like. We just like actually looking and knowing what we're looking at because it makes the looking so much more fun.
Do you ladies have a preference as far as size?
Every person, every woman might have her own particular preference or preferences.
How do you feel about...
Well, I do, but I'm not telling you.
Oh, come on now.
I don't want to speak
Whether you use this method to help you choose a man or to simply enjoy your thoughts about them a little bit more, the whole point is to enjoy. And sex and men, like life, should be enjoyed.
That's
what we're talking about.
Here's a question. And again, I'm not speaking about myself. It's
of course not. A
friend of mine. How would you feel about a man who had, I'd say, an above average penis
And there were some discolorations, some skin discolorations. So perhaps moles, perhaps something that would make that would make it less than attractive. Let's say
depends if it's catching or not.
It's nothing. That,
nothing contagious.
It's nothing that's catching, and right. And I'm not speaking about my penis. But let's say you had a
your
guy.
Your penis is not covered with moles.
Let's say you had a guy who had just, in your estimation, you know, a Robin Williams penis.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something about it that was just funky. Something funky looking. Okay. Would you still accept it?
Well, that's now going to get into that area of personal taste between, you know, for every woman.
Yeah, and there's that whole emotional thing, too.
And what about circumcised? Are you for that or against that?
Oh, dive in, ladies. You wrote the book Predicting the Penis.
Yeah,
come on.
We're not telling you whether it is circumcised or not. We're telling you that women like to look at men. And that we're telling the girls, go ahead and look at them, and now use our formula and look at them and know what you're looking at. Don't speculate.
When you're looking at a guy, when you're looking at a guy's thing, do you like it better if it's circumcised or non-circumcised? Just
well,
your own
on whether he's excited or not.
Oh.
You know, Baskin-Robbins had to come up with 32-plus flavors. We're okay with all sorts of different sizes, shapes, and looks.
That's
okay.
Good news.
Girls, how many penises do you think you've seen, felt, touched?
Do you want to ask them individually? Yeah, we've got Ann and Joyce both on the phone here.
Yeah, how many penises, either individually or between the two of you, do you think you've seen?
Yeah, between the two of you, what do you figure?
I've got too many years to have kept track.
Just 30 years of hands-on? 30 years of hands-on experience, I don't know. I have to really give that some thought. Enough to make it statistically significant.
Just think about it. Just think about it. You think you've been with 1,000 penises?
No.
500?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a yes.
500 penises.
Fantastic.
Not 500. No.
Not 500. Yeah. Have you been with 200?
I don't know.
Well, see, now you're getting to a number where I would, frankly, have to question
the authenticity of the book.
Your credibility.
Well, it doesn't really matter. The formula still works.
I think that, you know, you probably have to have at least, between the two of you, 100.
Here's what you do.
More than 100.
More than 100. Okay, good. All right, that's good then.
Here's the easiest way to figure it out. You just count the balls and divide by two.
We've really become our own Dick Tracy on this, though.
That's right.
We get jokes.
My goodness. And do you both, are you both involved with any men with,
Mike, they're single moms.
They're both single moms?
I have a hunky new boyfriend.
You have a hunky new boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And
was that Ann or Joyce?
Well, actually, Ann has a hunky new boyfriend. I have an old hunky boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Ann, incidentally, is a recovering slut, Mike.
That's right.
And how do they feel? How do the boyfriends feel about you?
That's what it says in the press release.
Talking this book, Predicting the Penis.
Mine gets a big kick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's fine with it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Are there pictures in your book?
Yes, we have illustrations, we have charts, we have worksheets. Oh, and by the way, the book is available at a toll-free number. You can call
1-800-PTP-1383.
Mm-hmm.
And we also invite all of your listeners to go to our website.
Yeah, they will.
funwithptp.com and share a funny story with us.
Do you think you'll have women all over the country pretty soon using this formula to determine a man's size?
This is going to be the next hottest water cooler topic.
How would you feel if we had this discussion about you?
Oh, as if men are not looking at women already?
Well, I'm thinking
we
about
are.
Size.
We are, but what if we were to look at either of you and say, you know, you might be beautiful, but geez, your teats are just like a 13-year-old girl. Sorry, no thanks. How would you feel if I wrote a book saying, you know, predicting the breast? The best
way. I think there are very few men. Our book is about two things. It's about having fun, and it's about fit. You know, the whole Goldilocks glee thing. You know,
I think we just
Goldilocks?
Got a great idea.
And what if I wrote a book, a formula to determine the looseness of a woman down there? Because I've got a theory.
Well, send us a copy, and we'll tell you.
I've got a theory.
Publish it. But the thing is,
we're copywriting that idea, ladies.
What? You know, I didn't enjoy sex with that woman.
And I got to tell you, you know, men are looking. When I go buy a new bra, I go into Victoria's Secret to buy a new bra, I'm not looking for one that's going to make me as flat and unattractive as possible. I mean, we're looking for something that's going to make us look attractive because we know that you guys are looking. We're here to say we women are looking too.
That's true. And, you know, with guys, though, I mean, you know, we don't go into, you know, there's not, well, I suppose they can sell certain types of underwear to make a guy seem a certain way.
Listen, you bad girls.
The formula will discount that right away. You'll know when you're lying.
Right. Look at his long neck.
We got a break. I don't have time to give you the sex quiz, but I think anybody that does not have time to go to your website, funwithptp.com, could you at least give our listeners, who right now, many of them are holding their penises,
mm-hmm.
would you tell us the celebrity you most resemble, starting with you, Anne?
Most resemble?
Yes.
Probably most resemble female celebrities, but I'm not sure.
Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Oh, that I look like?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Joyce, who do I look like?
And what about you, Joyce? Who do you think you look like?
I don't know. We're
gorgeous.
We're beautiful blondes.
Sexy, gorgeous women. There are pictures of us on our
website. I'm going to say this. I hope you're not offended. I'm looking at pictures of you both right now. And I'm going to say that Anne resembles a better-looking Amanda Plummer.
Okay.
And Joyce resembles a much better-looking Erin Brockovich.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. What do you think? Are you satisfied with those two?
It's pretty good.
Whatever.
Whatever. They're not
what
sure.
Did you say? There's no bad publicity. Just spell my name right.
All right. Very good. All right. It's not an insult at all.
And I'd have to say.
You're looking at the pictures now, Don?
Yeah.
All right.
I would have to say, and I'm not sure which is which. Oh, I see. Anne, a cross between Barbra Streisand and Kathy Lee Gifford.
Okay.
And.
Okay.
And Joyce, I'd go a little Carm Soprano.
Uh-huh.
Or no, you know, I take it back. The celebrities, now that I look at you girls again, and one of them is off the charts, you won't remember, Penny Marshall and Juice Newton. If you remember, Queen of Hearts. Very easy. Mike and I look like, you want to rent a movie called Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yes, yes. Which one are you today? Today you would be
I'll be Newman today.
Don resembles Paul Newman. I, of course, would be Robert Redford.
Of course.
We're very handsome. Go on WJFK.com. Knock yourself out. You'll want to pleasure yourself looking at a picture of us.
And what's wonderful about that website is the picture they have of me was taken the morning after a rather rough night. So you'll see me in my real natural state.
Anyway, girls, it's been great having you on the show. Good luck good luck having women find out how big a guy's thing is. And your website is funwithptp.com.
That's right. And thank you, gentlemen, very, very much.
Good luck with the book, ladies.
Bye, thanks. Girls. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
There they go.
I know. People are calling. I see them up on the screen. You didn't give them the sex test. You didn't give them the...
Well, they're not celebrities.
Right. No, they're not. They're not. They're just sluts who have written a book about guys' penises.
And now they're self-admitted sluts.
I take it back.
Recovering sluts. Okay, very good.
Recovering sluts.
Good luck.
As is our next guest.
Joe Buck.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Listen to the Don and Mike Show for your chance to win a trip for two to Super Bowl XXXVIII, courtesy of AOL for broadband. With AOL top speed, making your web pages load up to 2 times faster. And it's only on the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not to me. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want.
I'm messing with her knee.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale, you gonna give a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you gotta master the technology of this game.
Hey, how do you do that, man? Take all the pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
Oh. You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
The Don and Mike Show. Even better than a titty bar, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go now. I mentioned last weekend, what great games, and what a letdown. I crashed hard,
I know,
on Monday after those great games, because I know that we've got 2 games this weekend.
You're already getting depressed about the fact there's not going to be football.
Yeah. But here's a guy who helped me through 4 hours on Sunday. From Fox, here's really the best, Joe Buck. Hey, Joe.
Hi, guys.
Hey, thank you for coming on the show. Joe, are you in St. Louis now, or are you already down in Carolina?
I'm in St. Louis, if I were in Carolina, I'd be in trouble. I'd miss the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't be right.
The dry wit of Mr. Joe Buck always welcome.
And I'm stupid.
I know
you wouldn't be in St. Louis because it's Carolina.
It's Carolina.
Carolina.
It's Carolina. It's Carolina.
Carolina, Philadelphia. In case of all people, you should know that.
Yeah, well, Joe Buck lives in St. Louis, and for some reason, I associate him with the Rams. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Well, not after. Please don't after last week. Don't associate me with March. Don't associate me with any decision making. Associate me with any of that.
Joe, as dumb as all that stuff was, though, wasn't that the Panthers-Rams game, the way it unfolded, one of the best games in the last 10 years?
It was great. I don't know anybody who's got a pulse that could watch that thing and not get excited, and if you had a rooting interest for either side, not be throwing stuff around half the time and jumping around, acting like a little four-year-old the other half the time.
I would imagine when you're a sportscaster and you get a game like that, it's the exact same. It's the exact opposite of a 21-point blowout where the time must just crawl when that happens. But a game like that playoff game, it's over and you probably don't even get any sense that the time has passed.
Yeah, and I think when you're broadcasting a game like that, and you're the one calling the action, you almost have to go the other way. You almost have to act like it is. It is a routine, everyday, run-of-the-mill game, so you don't get caught up and you know, kind of get out of your frame of mind.
Let me ask you, Joe, because, you know, Fox really lucked out. They had the game Saturday night that ran way over the St. Louis game, and then Sunday you got the Eagles and the Packers, and what are the odds? You got another overtime game.
Yeah.
And
that's on the heels of our Green Bay-Seattle game the week before.
Which was overtime.
The stars are aligning for a 49-0 blowout.
I was thinking that, you know, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen. But speaking of that, do you think that that's what we're going to get with Philadelphia and Carolina?
I don't see that happening. I think Carolina goes to Philadelphia with every reason to believe they can win the game, and I think they go to Philadelphia. Carolina has a better shot of winning there than St. Louis would have, in my mind.
Oh, okay. Now, good to hear.
Is Stephen Davis playing possum? I know that Deshaun Foster had a great game last week, but I read somewhere today Stephen Davis said it was one of those grand denial, non-denials. I don't know if I'll play. Maybe I will show up and I'll let you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you try to read through quotes during the week, and you just don't get a sense for how they're said, and you don't get a sense of really of who they're said to. And, you know, I think they're only honest probably with themselves, their family, maybe their head coach, and outside of that, it's anybody's guess. But I think the fact that he couldn't return in last week's game, it's a quad strain, then you read it's a groin strain, then it's back to the quad. Whatever it is, I think there's just too much there to believe that he's going to be, even if he does play, that he's going to be the typical, you know, pound you Stephen Davis running back. So I would imagine Deshaun Foster will be the guy.
Are you talking to us on a Sprint phone right now?
I'm not, but I have that surgically implanted.
I remember that.
No, still every week he does it. Every week it's like...
I mean, it wasn't just with baseball, huh?
No, it's
you know what I get for that?
What?
Besides ridicule in every newspaper and every radio show.
I laugh at it, Joe. I love it.
I love it, too. And we talked about it, I think, during the World Series.
We did.
It really upsets people so much that it's just great.
So you get suitcases of money for that, right, Joe?
I get nothing. I get free cell service during the course of the season.
That's
on
good.
That one phone.
You know, I was watching the Philly game with somebody who was saying to me, well, there go the Philly fans. They're going to start booing again. They're going to start booing. And I was wondering, you know, because you've been there enough times, does the Philly home crowd... Because of the fact that they do get negative, do they almost serve as a negative factor for the Eagles at some point?
I don't, you know, that crowd is probably the most unique of any in any
you're a diplomat
setting.
Right?
They're ugly. They're an ugly group.
They can be nasty, and you know the booing, the Santa Claus, and all that stuff. A lot of that's true, and half the game, you know, we're doing the game, and I can talk about it now publicly because I was dumb enough to tell it to a Philadelphia sports writer the other day that the section in front of us is turning around yelling stuff at Aikman during the game. So we're doing the game and basically defending ourselves against the fans right down below in front of our booth. So it's really separated from them.
Joe, I read your column. You write something in the Sporting News. What is it, like once a month?
Once a month.
And it's funny. It's funny, and it's
you know what? They take half my stuff out, though. I turn that thing in, and I'm, you know, if you knew the stuff that they cut out of it.
Well, I laugh when I read the stuff that you got in, and I think the only thing that's as funny, and take this as a compliment, is I read in the other magazine, Sports Illustrated, they got a guy on the Letterman show who writes jokes. Mm-hmm. He writes like a sports monologue, and every week it slays me because at the very end he writes, "You've been a great audience. Please stay. Please welcome the Little River Band."
Right.
Or, you know, "You've been a great audience. Please stand by for the Captain and Sunil." I mean,
right.
What he's writing are jokes that I think out of the people who read the magazine,
mm-hmm.
maybe I would guess 2 out of 10 get them.
Well, but you know who he's good friends with?
Who?
Your guy, Tim McCarver.
Tim McCarver. But,
and do you think we were too rough on Tim McCarver way back when? Are you still thinking about that joke?
You know what? Of all the guys, of all the egomaniacal broadcasters that exist in the world, and I'm one of them. He is the toughest-skinned guy I've ever come across. I mean, he gets it left and right during the postseason, and the guy just keeps going and going and going. So
I like him a lot. I like him a lot better than Pete Rose.
You guys, your column is great. You're funny, and now I don't know how you're going to like hearing this, but I have to tell you something. I look up to you, Joe Buck, as my main NFL broadcaster because I know that during the shot of the three of you guys, you don't have to stand on a box like Al Michaels does.
You know what's funny is I am maybe an inch shorter than Troy and about 2 inches shorter than Chris, and I look like Billy Barty.
Yeah, no. Listen, not to overanalyze your appearance. You're a handsome man. However, Rob, tell them what your dad told you. Listen how people watch you when you're on TV. This is last
now,
week.
Now, you know what? Whatever you're about to say, I'm going to think about it when we come on the air.
It's you know those parkas you guys were wearing?
Yeah.
Rob, tell them what your dad said.
My father called me and said, "Look, Joe Buck is wearing a different coat than the rest of the guys because his almost goes down to his knees."
I said, I don't know why.
Why?
Tell your dad this. Troy is so worried about his appearance that he pulls a little drawstring and cinches it up and, like, tucks it around his waist like he's wearing a windbreak, like a members only jacket.
Does he really?
I, on the other hand, let it fly.
So what you're saying is
the coat's made to be long.
You wear the coat the way it was meant to be worn.
Exactly.
There you go.
He scrunches it all up because he wants to show off his... you know, the pleats in his pants.
Well, and during at the warmer climates or during the hot weather season, he'll actually take his dress shirt and won't he tie a bow and right at the midriff?
He'll cinch it.
Yeah. Like
there's nothing wrong with that.
Like Ellie.
Nothing wrong with that.
Like Ellie on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, just that. Knot it up and, mm-hmm. you know, devil may care attitude.
Good luck.
I'll pass that along to my father. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, please do.
I think the
record needs to be set straight. Cause I've never... You know, I do the game in Green Bay, and I come back, and God, you look so cold. Well, I was stinking cold. It was 7 degrees out there. You would have been cold, too, sitting out there.
I did see one of the cutaways. I think it was during the show with the James Brown, those guys. They said, "Let's go to Joe Buck," and it's just him standing there. "How you doing?" He says, "I'm cold."
Yeah, but it's stinking cold here in Philadelphia.
Stinking cold.
Well, it is.
I love it.
I will be nothing if not honest with you about the temperature because it directly affects me.
Mm-hmm. Joe, it used to be that guys like you broadcasters would call the games and we with the people that watch them would listen on the radio in the case of your dad or watch you on TV and associate the voice and the jokes and the mannerisms with what was going on. Now you got it's so hard for a guy who's a broadcaster to get into this inner circle because you're surrounded by jocks. Now you got some of them who are good. You know, Chris Collinsworth is good and funny and you're pulling blood out of a turnip with Troy Aikman, but how is it frustrating, like to see all these guys who really don't belong on television? This is just me talking now, guys who don't belong on television doing the game just because the only thing they can bring to the table to say is, well, hey, I played the game, you never
right.
played the game.
Well, I think in certain situations I can see what you're saying, and I feel the same way sometimes when I'm at home watching. I just am lucky enough not to work with any of those guys, and I'm sure a lot of the ex-players think, you know, oh, I got to do this game with some moron who's never picked up a football, and I think there's something to be said on each side of the fence, but it doesn't bother me, and to be honest with you. You know, I realize how good those guys are. I realize what those guys can do physically and could do at one point in their lives. I could never do it. And I'm more than willing, you know, it doesn't mean anything if I say that what an unbelievable catch. I'd never seen anything like that. I'm 34 years old, and I never played the game. So if somebody like Chris says it, who was a wide receiver in two Super Bowls, or Troy, who won to three Super Bowls, says it, it means a little more. It, that doesn't bother me at all.
All right, well, it bothers me because I'm like you. I'm the guy that never played. I'm the broadcaster, and I say, look at it. I go, wow, you know, here's a guy who's not taking it as seriously as some of these other
guys.
Well,
I think there are certain guys like that. I'm not saying there aren't. I'm just saying that I don't work with those guys.
Gotcha. And after this, you're done, right? Because the Super Bowl's on the other station.
I'm finished. I'm going to sit around in my underwear and stuff.
And when will now as far as baseball, when will we see you do the baseball broadcast?
Fox, I guess, starts up the first weekend in June or the last weekend in May, and then it's my continued onslaught on the American population, where you just can't get away from it.
Well, you know, really, I mean, Don's a huge football fan. I love football, but I'm a huge baseball fan, and right now, nobody better. I mean it. And you do a fantastic job. It's always a pleasure to see a broadcast you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. It's fun to come on with you guys. And I think any baseball fan's got to be excited about the way the offseason's gone.
Yep.
With the players moving around and some of the teams that seem to have it all lined up, I really think that baseball's about to make a little comeback.
I agree.
What do you think about the Red Sox?
I think they're going to end up with A-Rod.
And you know, I was going to ask you that. I'm glad you brought that up. You really think they're going to end up with it? Because I'm a diehard Red Sox fan.
I'm guaranteeing you on this date, whatever it is, January 15th, that they will end up with Alex Rodriguez.
Wow, that's great.
And next time I come on with you guys and he's not wearing a Red Sox uniform, you can pull this back on.
And then, of course, with Red Sox tradition, like I've told Mike, if they do sign A-Rod,
he'll come down with some terrible disease.
His arm will immediately fall off or something. Something like that will happen. Joe? Let's real quick, the Super Bowl, what do you think? I mean, who knows? Peyton Manning's on fire.
Yeah.
Man, God, is he good. But so's Tom Brady, who doesn't get as much pub.
So's Brady, and so's the New England defense, and I'm going to be really interested to see how much of that jabbering Manning does up at the line of scrimmage. It'll be freezing. That defense will be moving around. I think Belichick will outcoach the Indianapolis Colts, and I think they'll end up winning the game, and I think whoever comes out of the AFC, and granted, it could be Indianapolis, and they are on fire, I think they will clearly be the favorite in the Super Bowl.
Wow, I agree. And let me ask you something, because you know better than me. I understand what Peyton Manning does, that he's all that stuff with the hands and the touching and check with me, that's to see what the defense is going to do.
Right.
And once the defense commits to what they're going to do, then he can really call the play.
Exactly. A lot of the stuff is decoy, a lot of the stuff. And to be honest with you, a lot of guys don't like it. And I talked to Troy. He has told me time and time again, offensive linemen have got to hate that because they're down there in their stance, they're getting ready to go, and now they got to wait. They can't come off the ball. They have to kind of almost be back on their heels. And it's really risky, and that's why it doesn't happen. Manning might be the only guy that can pull it off, and even then, sometimes it's over the top and it's too much. I think he's going to have a tough time doing it against New England.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. That I when I watched the first game between the Patriots and the Colts, I saw that the Patriots goofed around, and I'm not using the right word, but leading up to the snap, they would just stand around because they knew that Peyton Manning was waiting to see what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a unique chess game that they were moving around like, hey, I'm going to stand here. Is that the way to beat him, to get a defense that jumps around?
I think the whole point of it is when he starts doing what he does is to make the defense move and change and try to match up with what the Colts are doing and, you know, get them out of what they're trying to do. And I think there is something to be said for that. And if Belichick did that the first time and they ended up winning that game, albeit on a goal line stand, I guarantee he'll do it again. And I'm sure he'll have some new wrinkle in it with different blitzes. That's why I think as hot as Peyton Manning is right now, I think he will cool off, literally and figuratively, going into New England.
All right, so you told us about all the games this weekend. Last thing I got for you about St. Louis. Kurt Warner, Mark Bulger did not play great, and I got to think that the reason that Marge didn't take a shot at the end zone towards the end of that game when he had time and a timeout was that he was worried that Bulger would throw an interception.
Exactly.
So,
and he called plays in the red zone like that in the first half, too. He was scared of going into the end zone. They were doing all those little shovel passes and inside handoffs and quarterback sneaks. If that's the case, if that's how he played it, and he was that scared of Mark Bulger making a mistake, then that should tell you all you need to know about what he thinks of Kurt Warner. Because Warner was standing there next to him with a clipboard making $11 million the entire season, And if he thought that of Mark Bulger going into the most important game of the season at that point and didn't want to move the ball into the end zone and win it, I mean, which is the only way you can play at that point. There's
correct.
No justification for sitting on the ball right there with a timeout left. Then that tells you that he doesn't believe Warner's the guy either.
So where does this leave Martz then? If he's got Warner, who you just said, $11 million, he won't
leave him. Leaves him drafting a quarterback, keeping these two guys around here. I'm sure opening up the competition again during camp, playing one more year with somebody, one of the two guys, and then hoping that he can develop whoever they end up drafting this year.
All right, Joe, and last question. What's the and maybe you can't answer, what's the dumbest slug that you've had to read for Fox during one of the, you know, we have to say, like, you know.
That's easy.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, it couldn't be easier.
All right, go.
My second year?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. After the game, while 60 Minutes is being promoted on CBS.
Right.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. After the game, an all-new episode of John Leguizamo's House of Buggin'.
Winner. This guy comes to play, ladies and gentlemen.
Pretty good, isn't he?
That's great.
It's funny, and he knows the game. And, Joe, it's a pleasure to watch you and listen to you. And have a great time in Philadelphia, I guess.
Has this been better than a trip to a strip joint like at the beginning?
Absolutely.
Lots better than that. Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys.
Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Joe Buck.
Yeah.
He's the guy now. And he's going to be the guy for a good long time.
Unlike Nance. Joe Buck is cool. You didn't hear Joe Buck today saying, well, what about those people who get hypothermia?
No, I would gather the people that were threatening Troy Aikman in Philadelphia, he was wishing hypothermia on
them. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Joe.
He's fun.
He's good. And I think tomorrow, if we can work her in, Nancy's coming on the show.
That's good.
But, you know, Friday's a busy day.
Hey, thanks for bringing up my boys during the football season, too. I appreciate that.
No problem. I know that he's your baseball guy.
And I've harbored that, but I haven't talked about that A-Rod thing. It's interesting to hear a guy that's got some perspective on it. I don't believe it necessarily. Yeah. Alex Rodriguez. Who knows?
Bacardi Limon.
I'll ask Tony.
Bacardi Limon.
There. Yeah. And don't forget, don't cinch your parking.
That's funny.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is.
He made it up.
There's Buzz. All right, Buzz operating at a disadvantage today. No computer service at his home.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No computer service here at the radio station.
Oh, my God.
So either you've made it up or you've found some way to bring us the news.
You be the judge.
What's your lead story today, Buzz?
Today, Tom Cruise almost loses his head.
Oh.
Tom Cruise?
Yes. The big one or the little one?
Dream. You
just have to wait and see.
Okay.
By his neck.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very,
very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
When in Los Angeles, they dine at Vivian's. Don and Mike.
Right, Vivian. Time for Buzz's News. Buzz brought to you by Veramax. Sexual pleasure. Performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try. VMAX. And now in a big country, here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. We almost lost a global treasure. Japanese actor Hiroyuki Sanada said today that he came within less than an inch of chopping off Tom Cruise's head while filming The Last Samurai. The Oscar-nominated movie is now showing on the internet and some theaters. Sanada says he was swinging a real sword during a fight scene with Cruise when Cruise's mechanical horse malfunctioned and didn't fall down as planned.
Wow. Tom, your robot horse has fallen.
You're in trouble, Mr. Cruise. I almost behead you.
Cut off your head.
Quoting Sanada, Tom's neck was right in front of me. I tried to stop swinging my sword, but it was hard to control with one hand. He says the blade stopped about a half inch from Tom's neck.
Oh, you almost get no head, Mr. Cruise.
What is that, Tom Cruise? You want to fight me?
And I'm such a fan of that great movie when you were younger. Lisky business.
quoting,
Quoting Sinatra, the crew screamed because they thought Tom's head would fly off.
Oh, no, his head go boom.
That's how close it came.
Nice head.
It's almost like the scene in Terminator. I finally, over the holidays, watched Terminator 3.
T3.
And, man, you know, you watch that and you think, people voted for that guy to be your governor.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a scene where the bad Terminator, the girl, the hot girl, she gets pissed off at Arnold during one of their fights, and he's sitting up, and she knocks him back and actually knocks his head all the way clean off.
Right.
His head.
Because he's a robot, don't you know?
And, of course, it's like it's hanging by one micro thread, uh-huh. And rather than do what anybody, even a robot, would do, pull the head off and smash it into a billion bits. It's like on Batman or Superman. Mm-hmm. You know, on Batman especially, they always get Batman in an incredible...
precarious situation.
Yeah, a spot he couldn't get out, like a bunch of acid coming at him and sharks and guns. And they would never stay to watch this happen. They'd always go, oh, he's sure to die. Yeah. We're going to drive away now.
Yeah, don't shoot him. Turn him into a surfboard.
Goodbye, Batman.
Exactly the same. Yeah. Exactly the same thing here.
Same thinking, yes. With a controversial movie that doesn't speak a word of English, Mel Gibson's done pretty well for himself. Word is his movie, The Passion of Christ, will open on about 2,000 theater screens next month.
I saw a trailer for that last night, and you know, I also saw Monster, which I am predicting will be the feel-good hit of the season.
Here is a clip from the movie Monster, and that story, what's her name?
Charlize Theron.
Ah. Hello!
There she is in that, and let me tell you,
Monster.
You know, they said that she made herself into no makeup and all that. Well, she's got makeup to make her skin look bad.
Right.
She looks bad, but that is one disturbing movie.
Yeah.
Weak stomachs, don't go see it. This is Charlize Theron, the Monster. Right here.
Right here. Right there.
Not looking her best.
But that, what's that, Christina Ricci? Is that her name?
Yes.
Oh, the girl from the Addams Family?
A lot of, you know, Mr. Skin might mention this, seeing her in a nice T-shirt.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the movie The Passion of Christ with Mel Gibson is going to be in about the same number of theaters as any major studio release, even though it isn't one.
Oh, Christ.
That's surprising because the movie's entirely in Latin and Aramaic. And it's surprising because a number of Jewish groups fear it'll stir up Jewish hatred by blaming that race for the death of Christ.
I heard it's softcore.
No, it's not porn of any kind, softcore, hardcore. No, it's not porn of any kind.
All right, sorry.
The 2,000 screens are also surprising because Gibson failed to find any major American movie studio to distribute the film. The movie opens February 25th.
The trailer looks pretty intense. Looks pretty good.
When did I read that his little cameo in this movie? He's not actually in it.
Right.
But when they put Christ up on the...
on the cross?
Yeah. That it's Mel Gibson that puts the first nail in his hand.
Really?
And apparently it's supposed to be... For the people who are watching the movie, that was Mel Gibson's way of making a statement, that he's being very symbolic, that that he plays the guy that put the very first stake in Jesus' hand.
Okay. Hmm. What's the statement?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen.
I'm not as nice a guy as you thought. I don't know.
I didn't say amen, that is funny.
Yeah.
In the context of what we're saying, I have absolutely no idea.
I think it has something to do with... as all Catholics, feeling guilty for what happened to Christ.
Oh, okay.
And he's also with Danny Glover when he does it.
Of course.
And Joe Pesci. And Joe Pesci.
Okay.
You got a hole in your hand. Okay. They're going to drag you through the streets. Okay. Then they're going to cover you with rocks. Okay.
Joe Pesci in The Passion.
And then the resurrection. Okay.
Well, as Don mentioned earlier, Rip Torn, who played Artie on The Larry Sanders Show, was busted in New York Tuesday morning.
Busted? That what it means, sir? Busted?
On drunk driving charges.
Drunk driving? I'm sober as a judge.
Police noticed his condition after he crashed his 1990 Volvo into a taxi cab.
Yeah, the cops didn't like what he said to him either.
What did he say?
Hello, children.
What do you do? Go to Rotterdam.
Uh-huh.
Then you go to Amsterdam.
Right.
Then you go down the road to my city.
Huh?
That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
The police didn't like that attitude. Nobody got hurt. The arresting officer says the 72-year-old actor smelled of booze, had bloodshot eyes, and was unsteady on his feet. The cop says Rip kept saying over and over, what? Huh? The Emmy winner's due in court in mid-March.
But I want to be connected.
What?
I want to be part of the loop.
It's taken us 8 years to totally disconnect you the way you always wanted to be. So keep this in mind. If I connect you, you will be connected.
Then connect me.
Fine. Connected you will be.
Good. Hey, Artie?
Yeah.
Do you ever notice that we get caught up in a certain kind of thought process?
Thought process?
Yeah, thought process.
What thought process?
Like the thought process we're involved in right now. I think we should try and catch it and put a stop to it.
Fine. And stop it, we shall do.
There we go, Artie. Is Michael Jackson playing the race card to fight off child molestation charges?
Which race?
Exactly. Good
buddy.
Question.
The human race.
That's
was.
Right. The black singer who's been accused of bleaching his skin is now accused of making his criminal charges a racial issue by, among other things, involving Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam.
Yeah, oh, and listen, whoever it is that's manipulating this Michael Jackson situation, that's not the right word to use, let me just say, right on. There's no better move that I would advise Michael Jackson to make than lining up with Louis Farrakhan.
Absolutely.
Now, there's one big problem, though, when they meet each other.
Yeah.
Louis Farrakhan's going to look at him and go, you effing white guy.
This is the conundrum, I guess. Black celebrities are increasingly speaking out for Michael, including Dick Gregory, Missy Elliott, Nicole Richie, Jesse Jackson, and Rick James, who's had some problems of his own over the years.
Rick James, yeah.
Michael's singing brother Jermaine calls the prosecution a lynching. Now, except for Liz Taylor, Michael's white friends...
Rob, don't clap for that.
I didn't.
Michael's white friends have vanished, except for Liz. It's silence from Liza, Brooke Shields, and Macaulay Culkin. As one overseas newspaper put it in a headline, is Michael Jackson turning black again?
No, it's a Farrakhan.
Right.
It's a Farrakhan.
Right, not Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, no, Farrakhan. Farrakhan. It's a Louis Farrakhan, C-O-N.
Farrakhan.
It's a Farrakhan. Farrakhan, Joe.
Farrakhan.
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 To recap one aspect of the Jackson story.
Bacardi Limon. Bacardi Lemon. Bacardi Limon.
Bacardi Limon.
Bacardi Limon.
There you go. Jackson was hit with the charges at about the same time his new greatest hit CD was released. At first, possibly because of the charges, it did not sell well. CBS then aired an interview with Jackson, and what Michael got in return was an airing of the music special the network had shelved because of the charges. Now, we see Jackson's new album shooting up the charts from number 39 to number 15 with a bullet. That said, Michael's new financial advisors have reported that his finances are now in fine shape and that he'll easily be able to survive the upcoming trial.
Now, again, it depends who you believe.
Right.
That I'm hearing, I'm saying this like I'm some freaking insider. I'm not. One of these TV entertainment shows, they had a guy saying that they had a party this week with Michael Jackson, with his closest friends, and that they loaned him $70 million.
Wow.
That he apparently owes somebody something like $500 million, and he had to make a balloon payment. And if he didn't make the balloon payment, then he's on S Creek.
Right. Yeah, and I think the reason that it's been speculated that he's out of Neverland Ranch is because he had to sell Neverland Ranch.
Yeah. Not to totally move backwards here, but you were mentioning Louis Farrakhan.
Right.
And I don't think it's fair to mention because, he's got nutty opinions, and people are very polarized when it comes to it. They either like him or they don't like him.
Right.
But I think everybody loves his sister.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was doing. There you go.
There, okay. Just give me a minute to find
it's
it.
It's a little late, but that's all right. I like
that. Well, it's not like I've got Chaka Khan records just sitting over here.
I understand. They're hard to find.
We've got
to
search for them.
Oh, I love me the Chaka Khan.
Oh, we can all agree on that. Louis, Chaka, time for dinner.
Louis Farrah.
Oh, that's right, excuse me. Louis Farrah.
Chaka. Dinner.
Bacardi Limon.
Those were anything. Well, now, above all else, with this next story, please, please don't be alarmed. You know how I hate that.
All right, no.
You don't like to do that, Buzz.
Not at all, Mike. Buzz is going to alert us to something that's bad.
The mutated bird flu has already. No, now, Rob. Mutated bird flu is not funny. It's already killed over a dozen people, and experts say it could turn out to be more devastating than SARS.
Oh, my. Hold on. Give me one of those bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, and where's our bird?
Oh, there'll be plenty of
opportunities. Where's our gold-eating bird? There it is.
There's Carmen.
Now, that one you didn't have to wait for.
There's the carrier. Now, again, Buzz, it would be worse than what?
Worse than SARS.
Bacardi Limon.
One expert says
We humans have no protection from this new strain of influenza virus, and that when combined with a more traditional flu bug, it could be deadly.
Well, listen to it. Oh, what's wrong, buddy? Oh, come here, right here. Spit in Daddy's hand.
You say the
Mr.
bird.
Sprinkles, boys and girls. Hello, Mr. Sprinkles.
Quoting a doctor, it's going to cause a big epidemic. It kills. It kills. End quote.
Mysterious bird flu.
That's right. Nothing mysterious about it, Mike. Deadly bird flu.
Yeah, but Buzz, aren't we almost out of the flu season?
It doesn't matter.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
The first outbreak is in Vietnam, and with new cases still being reported, over a dozen have died, and over a dozen others have fallen ill. People, not birds.
Mysterious bird flu.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Whatever you do, don't be alarmed.
Just watch out for mutated birds.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's three wings.
Two beaks.
Your first clue, sure.
Beware.
However, what a great buy at Boston Market.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like when you go to the outlets and you find the stuff that's, what do they call those?
Factory seconds.
Picked over.
Yeah, right. It's just like one.
Irregulars, Don.
Irregular, that's the word. Thanks, Mike.
That's right.
Go to Boston Market, get yourself a nice irregular dinner.
Yeah, like the, can I have the mutant chicken, please?
That's on special.
Man, that was delicious, especially with the gravy. But my throat is sore. Delicious.
Mutant bird flu.
Mutant bird flu.
All right, but you had your fun.
Okay.
All right, but can I tell you something? You scared nobody.
Yeah, we're not afraid of you.
Scared nobody.
Okay. Tomorrow's another day.
I know, you're just some man behind that big green thing. Oz.
Yeah.
Oz Burbank.
NBC still doesn't know.
OB.
NBC still doesn't know how it's going to replace Friends or any of the other On Too Long shows that'll fall off the schedule next year.
Listen, that question's been answered.
Has it?
How you doing?
That's right.
The Joey Show.
That's right. Joey having his own show?
Yeah, Joey's getting a spinoff. It's going to be 8 o'clock on Thursday nights. The How You Doing Show.
You'll be watching it.
It'll be called How You Doing.
How You Doing.
How You Doing.
You know who his co-star is?
George Michael.
There it is, always.
Well, despite losing these surefire hit shows, The Peacock Never Blinks, the network, with proud confidence, says it will launch its new fall season in August. The new shows on NBC will premiere 3 weeks earlier than usual this year, just after the Summer Olympics and during the Republican National Convention.
And you'll see their big mutated peacock.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Peacock with one leg. Or does it have? It has one leg, though, in the logo, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. It's a mutated logo.
But the feathers would not be that pretty rainbow color.
Yeah, they'd all be brown.
Yeah, when they're faded, run for your lives.
Mm-hmm.
NBC's hoping this will give it a jump on the competition, a technique tried with some success by Fox. Yesterday we told you the FCC was rethinking its stand on the F word. Today we're telling you the FCC is taking on a whole new conservative outlook. For years, the FCC's wanted bigger fines for what it considers indecent programming on radio and TV. And it appears it's about to get that wish.
Well, listen, before I even hear what this story is, I just want to say, every day, you know, it's a struggle. We come in here, and they look at the show with the goddamn magnifying glass. That all the lawyers are listening, and,
right.
You know, we do just silly, stupid stuff, and they jump on our case all the time.
Just goofing.
These dummies in Detroit, at the station in Detroit, they did some, I don't know what they did, but whatever they did, they got cited for, and they got fined by the FCC. $27,000.
Right.
Now, the big scheme to a company like Infinity, you know, that's toilet paper money,
right,
really.
Right.
But the Infinity response to the FCC was, again,
respectfully declines to pay the fine at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, listen, I'm getting conflicting messages from Infinity Broadcasting.
Sure, yeah.
Why should I follow the rules when if we get cited by the FCC, our company's policy is to simply say we respectfully decline.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I know they're going to delete out what I'm about to say.
Okay, be ready.
I was going to do it before you.
What if I wanted to say there's a goose, and I think that goose might have the mutation that Buzz was speaking about.
The bird flu, yeah.
And the only way that I know this is that I fuck.
Okay, don't say it again.
Because you did that.
Because I did that.
Uh-huh.
I've now... Everybody's hitting the delay button.
Yeah.
They get nervous now. They all sit up.
Understand? I mean, that's the conflicting message. On one hand, it's like you got to follow the rules. You can't say, you know, you can say J.O., you can say work your man, you can say make a batch.
Right.
You can't say the technical term for getting your jerk on.
That's right.
However, you got these guys in Detroit and the other guys, the skateboarders, that do stuff that seems to me to be much, much nuttier, much worse. They get called on it, and the company says, we respectfully decline to pay the fine.
Yeah, mixed message. Somebody from the company explain that to us, please. Not going to happen.
You're right.
At least one Republican lawmaker is behind the move to let the FCC hit stations and networks with fines that could be hundreds of thousands of dollars bigger than they are now. Quoting the head of the FCC, some of these fines are peanuts. And although we'd heard that NBC stations who aired Bono's use of the F word would not be fined, whatever's decided, now we're hearing they might be fined for airing that.
Well, and those stations will probably do the same thing Infinity does, just that we're not going to pay it. So here's the thing. Why are we all dancing to this tune with the FCC?
I don't know.
I mean, it's got something to do
with... I think they're ramping up for a big legal battle.
It's got something to do with license renewal. And, you know, they all the stations are supposed to serve the community, even though none of the stations serve their communities. They're all just money-making entities. That's all this really...
The reason they're doing this is they are ramping up for a big battle. And they're probably all under one umbrella.
Yeah, seems like it.
Well, gosh, you know, I'd hate to say, you know... the word master, followed by what I do when I go fishing. Yeah.
The old bait and switch.
To bait my hook. I hate to say that word. God, that's awful.
Yeah, sure is.
That's freaking awful.
Glad we have that rule.
You respectfully decline to say that at this time.
So what's next? Banning a Mariah Carey concert? That's what they're considering in Malaysia, where Mariah's planning a show next month. Conservatives in the capital, Kuala Lumpur, say the concert will encourage moral degradation, and they say it's disrespectful to Muslims because it coincides with an Islamic religious holiday. That's Kuala Lumpur, Mike. They say Mariah and her, quote, sexy clothing can be seen as challenging the status of Islam as Malaysia's official religion.
That one-faced bitch. You know, I'm not going to do the whole Tommy Mottola thing, because I've got another thought. As long as we're talking...
Well, who do you think you are, anyway?
I'm Tommy Mottola!
Thank you.
But about the whole... not Mariah Carey. The thing with
the FCC,
standards.
The fines, yeah.
Listen, I'm no prude. There's evidence on this show.
You know that.
I love, if it's dirty, if it's funny, I like it. If it's erotic, I like it. Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't get. Anybody see this commercial? It runs during all the football games. I don't even know what the product is that's advertised. It's black and white, and it looks to me like softcore porn.
Mm.
Here's what it is. And anybody who's seen it, call in. Now would be a good time to call in and help me describe this ad. It is a woman. You don't see her face.
Right.
She's wearing a bikini top, and she has killer jugs.
Wow.
And it is one bead of sweat that is going down her neck where her Adam's apple would be.
Oh, my God.
So you say.
It's very slowly.
That's not sweat.
Okay, well, even if it's number three, or whatever it is, it moves very, very slowly. It goes between her breasts, and then as they're getting through with the pitch for whatever the product is, right at the very end, it's going down her very flat belly.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing but Boner City, incidentally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right at the very end, the little drop of sweat goes into her belly button. I watched that commercial, and all I thought of was sex.
I wonder why.
Where's the lotion?
Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
Bono can't say the F word on TV, but it's okay to run an ad. I don't even know what the product is, and I'm not complaining.
Well, it would be inappropriate if a woman's breasts are covered and it's just a bead of sweat. It's fine. If the announcer on the commercial says, "Take a look at this. Would you like to F her?" Then you got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Was it really for
Bacardi Limon?
All right, that's what I thought.
I didn't think so. Oh, let me see if anybody on the phone knows the product.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike. Do you know this product?
Yeah, Beck's Beer.
What is it?
Beck's Beer.
Beck's Beer. How about that, Rob, huh?
Oh, right, right,
right.
Now, hold on. You tell me. You've seen that commercial. Is that like softcore porn? It's a great commercial.
It's fantastic. She's hot and woohoo, baby. Yeah.
Like Beck's Beer. That's great.
And I'm telling you, it's like you are having sex with her. And the complete...
Did you say for the end of the commercial when they say, if you drink a Beck's Beer, you'll be able to F her?
No.
It's a whole six-pack, Mike.
Yeah, they got to sell more.
What is that joke about... an ugly girl with there's something about a six pack and you're missing a couple of them, but she, you know, when you put your fingers in the tool.
Oh, yeah. You know, as far as like, you can carry her home like a six pack. There you go.
It was some joke. You know who told me that joke was Joe Gibbs.
He loved it.
Still laughing.
And then there's Airtight.
Hello!
We did Airtight for a while.
Is that the guy on the phone? Did you just do the hello?
Yeah, I did.
Airtight.
My friend, listen, hold on. Let me give you something. Because you had that. It's Beck's beer, and I had no idea what it was. That's Rob's beer. You got the DVD copy, the box set of the first season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. That is from HBO.
Fantastic.
Now available on DVD and VHS. Thank you for the call. Where are you calling from?
The Big Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo.
Roger said the most, you just said Beck's beer, and he had the most content, happy look, and I just pictured him swilling down a Beck's.
I'm looking ahead for about an hour or so.
That is good stuff.
Oh, a lot of times I'll speak with Rob, and I'll say, you know, what's going on? What are you doing tonight? He's, tonight's a green night. And I didn't know, the green bottles.
Yeah.
Green bottles. He loves his Beck's. Hey, good one. Thank you, my friend.
I'm a trainable. And I have bloody stools.
Hold on, you got the prize already.
Just keeps giving.
You won. Hold on a second. Thanks for listening.
And another good code phrase is a trip to Greenville. Taking a brief one-night trip to Greenville.
Very good.
Buzz, we got a break here. What's next?
Coming up, we're going to find out about a Muslim cleric who wrote a book about how to beat women without leaving marks.
Oh, hey, Rob. Geez. What do you got? What, you got a ghostwriter?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's not funny. No. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's a new year. Time for you to get a new wireless company. Switch to Singular. Take advantage of the amazing deals Singular is offering right now.
You'll be delighted with Singular's rollover minutes.
Only Singular has the rollover. Only Singular lets you keep your number and your unused anytime minutes.
Sign up for Family Talk and Singular will give you 500 bonus rollover minutes to share.
Hey, roll over.
Add a line for $9.99 per line per month on select plans starting at just $39.99 a month.
Nationwide, long distance included. How about that?
Singular has the newest phones for the new year. Like the Motorola V400. It's only $149.99 after a $50 mail-in rebate. Got the built-in camera, picture caller ID, voice dialing, cool ringtones, and it plays all the MP3s that I love.
You know what we're doing right now?
What?
We're selling.
Yeah.
You know where we're selling from? A ticker.
Yeah, absolutely.
New year, new wireless company, new script, same number. Think switch to Singular. Call today, 1-866-SINGULAR. Go to singular.com.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular wireless store for details.
WJFK.
Great time capsule.
Yeah.
Great
show.
Reel.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting from the zone of uncertainty, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Beach Boys. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have the brand new low budget Jeff Hardy coming in studio. The guy from Mr. Show, the funny guy. Which one?
David Cross.
David Cross,
God,
yes.
Funny.
More stuff, more surprises. Let me just tell you one thing coming up soon on the show that I'm excited about. It's Robert the Mailman. Before you turn the radio off, I think his last couple of appearances on the show have been absolutely fantastic.
They have been outstanding.
I think I've got Robert pegged, and he's got me pegged. Mm-hmm. He plays me, I play him.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. I think he brings something to the show, but he can't come and argue every time.
Right.
And I have to give Robert some credit for this, that he called Charlie, and he found an article in a magazine. There is, you know, the Civil War reenactments?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a guy, a black guy, a brother, a colored guy, and he's into this. And he plays one of the guys for the South Army.
Really? The Confederate Army?
Yes. This has upset Robert.
Sure.
We are working now. We're contacting the guy who was featured in the article. You know, the whole point of the article is, why would a black dude play a Confederate soldier?
Right.
Well, thought about it and thought, who better to interview him than, of course, the guy that thinks everything is a conspiracy against the black man,
mm-hmm.
Robert Mailman.
So is Robert doing his research now?
Yes, he is.
To make sure, because, I mean, I know my history would tell you that there were black soldiers in the Confederate Army,
What's great about it is that Robert doesn't care about that fact.
He doesn't care about that at all.
He doesn't care about
that's
that.
That's a good thing.
It's the basic thought
right.
that you had a black guy that was fighting for the Confederate.
And a black guy that's reenacting it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So that's...
So is he suitably angry?
He's pissed.
Sure.
He wanted to come on the show without having the other guy on the phone.
Sure.
And tell Charlie, tell him, no, it's not like, this is not Robert's carte blanche.
Now, Robert, though, if you tell him he's got a debate coming up, he'll come in here with stacks of stuff.
So anyway, that's like my dad just says, it's not a...
And a box of porno.
It's not a threat, it's a promise.
That's right.
He's going to be coming back on the show. Anyway, Buzz.
Yes, hi, Donovan.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi. A Muslim...
Oh, sorry, Buzz.
One more thing?
I'm supposed to do this.
One more thing.
The Super Bowl, next Thursday, 1 week from today.
Yeah.
We're giving away a 4-night, 5-day trip for two to the Super Bowl 38 with round-trip air to Houston, hotel accommodations, tickets to the NFL experience. See, you save money because they charge now.
There's $10 right there.
They charge now.
Of course they do.
Full breakfast, daily, hotel, and airport transfers. Courtesy of AOL Top Speed and AOL for Broadband, AOL Top Speed makes your web pages load faster on dial-up, up to 5 times faster, 2 times faster on broadband. Next Thursday is when we're giving away the trip to the Super Bowl, and it is the all-female, all-nude Real Talent Show.
The all-nude Real Talent Show for women only.
I think that the whole nude thing has been played out on the radio. I've discussed that ad nauseum with you, but there's no reason that we can't have naked girls in here
no reason.
With real talent.
Right.
I mean, this is like Star Search. If you can sing... dance, do a comedic routine, if you're into magic, into juggling, maybe you're one of those trained Shakespearean actors.
Yes, absolutely.
And you want to come in and really, it's
unicycle.
It's a real talent show. It's a real talent show, except all the girls will be naked.
And hatchet throwing.
And the winning girl gets the trip to the Super Bowl from AOL.
Is that your pantomime, Rob?
No, it's spinning plates.
Oh, spinning plates. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Same motion.
Yeah.
Tomahawk Chop.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
A week from today on the show. Thank you to AOL. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
A Muslim cleric who wrote a book on how to beat women without leaving marks may be going behind bars for 15 months. Muhammad Kamal Mustafa lives in Spain, but so do some women's rights groups, and they protested loudly. Now he's been convicted of inciting violence, but he's also appealing that conviction, and word is he probably won't go to prison at least until after his appeal is considered. Mustafa says he just copied the advice from ancient Muslim holy writing, so he's calling it part of a cultural tradition. His advice...
Won't leave a mark, Dad.
Ancient books about not leaving a mark?
Yeah, he says these were from holy ancient Muslim writings.
So how you doing?
Tips.
King Tut here. Welcome to my latest book on beating pharaohs. No, it wouldn't be pharaohs. What were girls back then?
Handmaidens. I just like handmaidens.
What about wenches?
Wenches? Well, wenches would be medieval times.
All right, handmaidens.
Mm-hmm.
Beating
handmaidens.
Handmaidens and not leaving a mark by King Tut.
His advice includes a...
Oh, and incidentally, I've got a condo made of stone. had to throw
there
that in.
There you go, and I got to listen to 4 hours of hello.
Yeah, well,
there you go.
No, I just want to point out, Steve Martin did have a hit record.
Yeah.
I don't think Robin Williams did. I don't think he did. And I'm not saying that King Tut's a great record.
No. There. Like it all day.
There you go.
His advice, the author's advice, includes, among other things, not beating a woman while you are in, quote, a hot and angry mood. So you cool off.
Oh, first. So you calm down, so it's premeditated.
Right.
Question, though, Buzz.
Yes. Yes, Don.
What if she just won't listen?
Oh, my God.
Then you talk. You talk with her.
Oh, my God.
You have a conversation with words.
And look who has found his way up to the microphone.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, pal.
Anything about a sock full of BBs?
Oh, God.
I
thought you put the soap in the sock. When did you go to BBs?
No, the soap is in prison.
You can't get BBs in prison.
Soap is Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
BBs.
An American Airlines pilot was arrested.
Big tube sock, though, right?
Yeah, with 3 blue stripes on it.
Oh, God.
like 1970s basketball sock.
I don't know. It's all in the book. American Airlines pilot arrested in Brazil yesterday after making an obscene gesture. Dale Hirsch gave the finger to police in Sao Paulo because he doesn't like the new security measures.
See this picture?
that require all incoming Americans to be photographed and fingerprinted.
It's a great picture.
Oh, so this is his protest to that?
Yes.
He's sitting there. They got to give him an identification number,
right?
And he's holding up his identification number like this.
Oh, with the finger.
Yeah, it was hysterical.
So he's holding up a piece of paper, but mm-hmm. there's only one finger.
That's right.
That's making its way around, and it's the F.
They got the message,
and that was no accident. Brazil started this policy of photographing and fingerprinting Americans, only U.S. citizens, to protest our new security policy that applies to all foreigners.
Yeah, F them.
Quoting a Brazilian cop, he made an internationally known obscene gesture when he was being photographed by the federal police. The pilot's charged with disobeying authority and will be deported back to the U.S. This does not bode well for next month's big carnival celebration in Rio. Tourists may opt to stay away from Brazil.
Yes. You know, I don't get this, the whole uproar about this. You can come visit this country if you want, if you're from somebody else.
What does it take, seconds? I believe it takes seconds.
In this country, their process is a little slower.
Right.
In Brazil.
Yeah, because they handwrite it. And it was like written in pen, the numbers that they gave them, those a-holes.
Well, you know what I say about Brazil.
You know something? After watching the mulattoes shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted my favorite body part,
right.
The ass.
You know, whether it's Brazil not having the technology that we do to move it along as quick as possible, what's the problem? I understand that America's got this thing. Our doors are open to anybody. But really, let's think, it's not literally meant to be discerned that way. Our doors are not open to just anybody.
No, right. And we're protecting our national security.
Have your picture taken when you're leaving the country, when you're coming into the country? What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm. The Brazilian policy is strictly revenge, the policy they have down
absolutely.
There. They're just getting
right,
even
no,
with
no,
us.
I get it.
It's like government's exacting revenge for no reason.
You know,
right.
No, I get it.
Yeah, I know you do.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that, but why don't they get
they don't.
What
I don't
we're
know.
Doing.
I don't know. They're just cranky.
You know, and see, this is where this is why it's good I'm not the president, because my first instinct is, F them, push the button, make it happen. Mm-hmm. Take Brazil off the map. Brazil can't deal with the fact that we want to take people's pictures coming in and out of this country.
Once again, you've threatened nuclear weapons. It's been a long time.
They have lovely beaches.
It's been a long time since you've threatened use of nukes. Are you saying nuke them for this?
I might go with mustard gas.
Mustard gas. I don't think we have any right now. Maybe.
Sure we do. Didn't Saddam have it?
Rob said he's got some.
You've got some. But aren't you saving it for the Super Bowl?
Yes, I am.
God.
A foul.
No, I meant because he puts it on a sandwich.
Right,
of course. He's going to hurt anybody.
Of course not.
It's mustard gas.
Of course not.
Don't let Rob get one of those visits from the authorities.
Not again.
A foul-mouthed opera about the Jerry Springer talk show has landed 8 theatrical award nominations in England. Jerry Springer the Opera is up for a string of Laurence Olivier Awards, Britain's highest theatrical honors.
Oh, Larry Oliver.
Quoting the composer, it's got tragedy, it's got violence, there are people screaming at each other and you don't understand what they're saying. It's perfect for opera. Among other shows, the Springer Opera is up against a remake of Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Have you noticed how Jerry, I do believe the 15 minutes, which by everybody's estimation should have run out a year ago.
And he ain't going to go out. He ain't going to go out pretty.
It's ending for him that now I'm seeing the Ellen DeGeneres show, which incidentally is a pretty funny daytime talk show.
Really well. She's a brilliant comedian.
Yeah. That's doing well in the ratings. Mm-hmm. Regis and Kelly Lee doing well in the ratings. Dr. Phil doing well in the ratings. All the shows with people yelling at each other and throwing things are not doing well. But you're right. I was watching Springer the other day, and you could just tell that he knows the numbers are going down, and he's just standing there. And
he's tired.
Anything you want to do,
whatever,
go ahead. You have guys hitting each other, girls pulling their tops off. Everything is bleeped out, and every shot of Jerry Springer is him just standing in the corner with his arms folded.
Well, you don't remember the days in those shows when the producers used to have fake people come on and they tried to make it look real?
Yeah.
They don't care anymore.
No,
now it's completely staged, and they don't even make an effort to conceal it.
But I'm still a fan.
Sure.
I just have to say, I'm still a fan of it, even though I see the trend coming to an end.
Right.
And I know the Jerry Springer run, he'll hang on till the very end.
It's tough.
What choice does he have?
I do like it. Jerry.
In sports.
And that's why, you know, they do that. You know,
yes.
Jerry.
Like he's, you know, a big muscle man. He's going to get in between the two battling, you know, the wife and the girlfriend.
I know.
Like he's going to get in between two of them.
But it is so great.
It was great. It's not as great as it used to be.
It still is. Because now there's not as much of it.
The thing I hate about it is at least when they were trying hard to fake us out, it was just a little more. You think maybe these people really are going after
each
other.
Yeah, but even now, you know what?
Now you know they're being coached to go after each other.
But here's the thing, though. What's your choice? It's today on Ricky Lake, another exciting makeup. I mean, there are no more yell and scream shows, be they real or fake.
There's always TV Land.
Finally, streaking can be both fun and funny, unless and until something goes horribly wrong.
There's no yelling in TV Land.
Well, I mean, Larry Tate yelled at Darren the other day.
Oh, that was with a laugh track.
That's what Springer needs.
Dateline Spokane, Washington. Three men streaked through a Denny's. They simply made one pass around the dining room, stark naked. They'd left their car running outside for a quick getaway.
Denny's.
They would have gotten that quick getaway if someone hadn't stolen their car and the clothing that was in the car.
That is great.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. That's it. Gotta go.
Oh, man.
We'll be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. We will see you then. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hello.
Good heavens, I'm almost out of BBs.
Oh, listen, we got to go look at a website. Okay?
Hey, BM. Peters.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.